did some reconnaissance on the ground, speaking to an organization there that's gearing up to for resistance and protest. I can't tell you exactly what they're doing, but it's called Operation Pull Up. Tell us why you're doing this.
This is Operation Pull Up, more of a clandestine operation. We show up somewhere that is a key location. They don't expect us to come there. And then we disrupt business as usual.
The 1994 Clinton-era FACE Act, meant to shield abortion mills from verifiable threats, got weaponized overnight when a pack of anti-ICE radicals, egged on and live-streamed by CNN has-been Don Lemon.
This is the beginning of what's going to happen here. When you violate people's due process, when you pull people off the street and you start dragging them and hurting them and not abiding by the Constitution, when you start doing all of that, people get upset and angry. And if you remember what the civil rights movement was about.
As you can see, all these pretend Christians, all these comfortable white people who are living lavish, comfortable lives while children are dragged into concentration camps.
These clowns barged in mid-service, falsely claiming some pastor doubled as an ICE honcho, scaring kids to tears, emptying pews, and forcing the whole congregation to scatter in distress. All while Lemon played director, camera rolling, smugly defending the chaos as First Amendment theater and whining that disruption is just what protesting is about.
Watch this guy here, look, hugging his kid. And, you know, I've imagined it's uncomfortable and traumatic for the people here, but that's what protesting is about. And so you heard what some of the folks said in there. You know, that this is, they shouldn't be there and, you know, they shouldn't be uncomfortable and this is our house and whatever. That's what protesting is about, is to make people uncomfortable. You may not like it.
It's called journalism. First Amendment, all that stuff. For all of you people who believe in the First Amendment, absolutist. There you go. So why don't you talk to the actual person who is in charge of the organization and whose idea it was to have the protests at the church before you start blaming me for stuff for which you have no idea.
How would you feel if I went to your house and I started yelling?
On what I did, but not in my house. That's a whole different thing. I think these people would go inside of anybody's house.
This is the house of God.
But Don, how is it that you defend yourself with First Amendment protections while simultaneously prohibiting the free exercise thereof of an establishment of religion, a violation of the very same amendment?
What do you think of this?
I mean, this is unacceptable. It's shameful. It's shameful to interrupt a public gathering of Christians in worship.
But there were folks who said,
I have to take care of my flock.
Okay,
my
but listen, we live in there's a constitution in the First Amendment to freedom of speech and freedom to assemble and protest.
Yeah. We're here to worship. We're here to worship Jesus because that's the hope of these cities. That's the hope of the world is Jesus Christ.
I want to be very respectful. Please don't push me though.
We're here to worship Jesus.
Yes.
That's why we're here.
The FACE Act explicitly bans using force, threats, or physical obstruction to intimidate or interfere with people exercising their religious freedom at a place of worship, an act the Biden administration used to prosecute at least 25 FACE Act cases involving roughly 60 defendants. These cases accounted for roughly 24% of all FACE Act prosecutions in the law's 30-year history up to that point.
Take, for example, one of our witnesses here today, Paul Vaughn, who was prosecuted for praying outside of an abortion clinic. Vaughn was arrested when an FBI SWAT team raided his home at gunpoint early in the morning in front of his wife and 11 children, later sentencing him to 6 months of home confinement and 3 years of probation. Another FACE Act defendant, Lauren Handy, was sentenced to 57 months in prison for her role in protesting late-term abortion within our nation's capital. And I would note, this happens to be an individual that I don't always align with philosophically. In another grotesque prosecution, the weaponized Biden-Harris Justice Department recently sentenced a 75-year-old grandmother, Paulette Harlow, to a 24-month federal prison sentence. And again, in the case of Eva Idle, an 89-year-old, I repeat, 89-year-old death camp survivor who is awaiting federal sentencing for her peaceful advocacy for praying for the...
G-Man! All the free-flowing methylene blue is now mine!
No way, you evil scum. Methylene blue is for everyone!
Order Methylene Blue at the AlexJonesStore.com.
We're gonna make it, men!
Now look here. Even to this very day, I still have my trusty old trench knife from the war.
Order now at the AlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome to the American Journal. Good morning, everyone. Happy Tuesday. We've got a lot going on over here, and I mean it when I say it this time around, because, folks, this is going to be one heck of a show coming your way. We have a ton of exclusive content we're dropping on today's show. We look forward to you all being here and joining us. Very excited for our incredible lineup of guests that are joining the program, of course. We will have a lot going on over here in just a little bit. As many of you guys know, the World Economic Forum is taking place. It's day two. And Larry Tatum is right now on the ground in Davos. He'll be joining us by phone in just about 25 minutes, so that will be a great one. We'll also play some of the clips that have been happening over at the WEF as well, what they are talking about. And we're also going to talk a little bit about Eric Swalwell, because there's a challenge to get Eric Swalwell yanked from the governor's race in California. And Joel Gilbert is the individual who is filing that challenge right now. And he will also be joining us in the first hour of the program to detail his argument as to why Eric Swalwell cannot be governor of California. We'll also be joined by Liz Joy in New York. She is a GOP chairwoman over in New York, and there's a lot to sound off in regards to fraud. Surprise, surprise. Liz will join us as well. And like I said, it's a massive lineup today, because we'll also have Joseph McBride, an attorney, joining the program to break down the FACE Act for us, because as many of you guys know, it's getting a lot of attention in regards to Don Lemon, and we played that report for you in the open of today's show. But there's a lot going on with the FACE Act, and Joseph McBride obviously is one who is very familiar with all of this, so he will join us to break down what can be done here. And this is going to be a really fun interview, but Lauren Chen is joining the show. As many of you guys know, Lauren was pushed, I mean, I'd say she's pushed out by a lot of the conservatives in this media movement world, because the DOJ under Joe Biden accused her of taking money from Russians, and, I mean, they accused her of being a propagandist. But Lauren was never charged with the crime. And Lauren is going to join us to speak out on all the allegations that she faced, because, folks, so many people wrote her off. And I was constantly, this was as soon as the charge is where there was two individuals, there was charges filed against them. And it was detailed that Lauren was being referred to as founder one in these court documents. And I told everyone to hold off and wait, because this is way too convenient and way too close to an election that it sounds politically motivated. And surprise, surprise, in fact, it was. It was a way to go after conservative media voices, and sadly, conservatives fell for it. So I'm excited to have Lauren on the show today to explain what happened behind the scenes, because she's not facing criminal charges. But according to her, the federal government actually still has her life savings, and they seized all of her finances between her and her husband. And although, again, she's not being accused of committing a criminal act, they still won't cough up the cash. So Lauren Chen will be joining us for a breakdown on all of that. That's a really important one. We'll also be joined by Justin Goodman. Now, he's the senior vice president of White Coat Waste. And we have just uncovered a massive, massive scandal, something that is, I think, is a concern, a safety concern, a national security concern in Montana. There was a bio agent that somehow leaked or was stolen. Now, we don't know, because the term itself is "or." So that's very specific. But again, this is extremely dangerous. And Justin Goodman has been doing a lot of digging into all of this. He will break that down as an exclusive report you won't see anywhere else. But here on InfoWars, we've got the documents to back it up. So, folks, we look forward to having Goodman on as well. So there's a lot going on over here that we're excited that you guys are jumping in on. And a lot happening all across the country. I wanted to get to clip one, because I know I know many of us are very, let's just say, critical of the DOJ. There's lots of threats, very little action. By very little action, I mean, we haven't really seen anything. We haven't. But John Solomon, who has sources who are very close to the top officials over at both the FBI and the DOJ, well, he tends to get his hands on things before anyone else. And John Solomon was on with Steve Bannon yesterday, and he detailed some grand juries that are popping up. Take a listen.
Is there any sense that people are working around the clock and working weekends to sort this mess out?
There is. And I think the most important day was January 12th, Monday, January 12th, because that is when the grand jury in Fort Pierce, Florida, for the first time convened to look at the grand conspiracy case. I have seen enormous activity by federal prosecutors all across the country since that day. Documents being pulled, people being briefed, questions being asked, evidence being gathered. There is an effort to put together a conspiracy case that the government was weaponized to deprive Donald Trump and his followers of their civil liberties by falsely pursuing them for criminal charges when there was no evidence to do so. That will take you all the way back to Jack Smith and Lois Lerner, 2014 IRS, all the way to Jack Smith, 2024, and the prosecutions that ultimately were dismissed by Judge Eileen Cannon. And ironically, that will all be in Eileen Cannon's district. It looks like that's where the grand jury is based. Now, separate of that, there is the Democrat machinery, the fraud machinery, and the possibility that's an election strategy. You saw Friday night that the confirmation that Waltz and Mayor Fry are being criminally investigated for obstructing the ICE activities. But that investigation is broader than just interference in ICE. It's also looking at whether a willful and blind eye was turned to the fraud, because the fraud was essential to a Democrat election strategy. And so that grand jury in Minnesota is looking at more than that. There could be subpoenas delivered today or tomorrow, hand-delivered to the governor and the mayor of Minneapolis. That is a big moment. I would not be surprised to see the Minnesota Attorney General also receive a grand jury in the next couple of days, because these whistleblowers, these state workers, are now cooperating with federal investigators. Rand Paul confirmed that on Friday. So you have a federal criminal investigation, congressional investigation, looking at this strategy that the president just tweeted out in the story I did. Then the final piece of the puzzle, and I think this could have indictments or arrests as early as this month, based on my reporting, is they're looking at who is funding these protests, who is obstructing ICE, who are the funders, the orchestrators, the facilitators of these riots and these efforts to impede lawful enforcement. I think that could be the first sign of indictments, that we could see arrests and indictments as early as the end of this month based on the activity I'm seeing in the field. I think the Florida grand jury, we're probably looking at between now and early spring before we see the activities there. But for the first time, the resources are in place, the evidence is gathered, and now real grand jury activity that can result in real charges beginning to happen. Now,
listen, that sounds promising. That sounds very promising. We'll see where this all goes. Of course, folks, John Solomon seems to get the leaks first. So he obviously is being told by top officials as to what's going on. So I think Americans are getting a little fed up here. And by a little fed up, I mean, we are very much fed up. We haven't seen any movement. We haven't seen anything of significance. And for everyone at home right now, I know you're fired up. I know you're fired up. To sit here and pretend like this is what the American people voted for, it's not. It's not. So yeah, the grand juries should be full on right now. I mean, this is ridiculous that it took this long to get here. But again, we will sit back and wait. But we need more top officials, the people who were involved in the AutoPen scandal, the Epstein files. We need people who were trying to destroy our democracy. We need all of those people prosecuted. It's going to happen again. This is the frustrating part. This is not going to stop. This is going to happen again. We cannot sit here and allow the bare minimum of charges be filed. Yeah, I get it. The everything going on in Minnesota, fraud related, is important. But our country's on the line here. We didn't vote for just the bare minimum. We voted for all of these people to be held accountable, because if the tides do turn, if a Democrat does get back into the White House, folks, we are all going to prison. There's no other way to see it. And unfortunately, we have not set a tone that says, if you dare try to politically persecute your opposition, well, guess what? You're going to prison. You're going to prison. We haven't set that tone. We constantly hear about these investigations popping up. We've heard for months now about these grand juries in Florida. Nothing. Crickets. So we'll continue to see it as it unravels, of course. You know, I've got my eye to that, and we will continue to focus on it. But again, this is so insane that we still don't even have any accountability on this front. People have gotten away with a lot in this country, and it's absolutely ridiculous. Folks, on the president's schedule today, he will be participating in a signing around 3 p.m. Eastern time. Then he's taking off and heading over to Davos. He is expected to speak tomorrow in Davos. So we'll keep that, obviously, our eye on that. But obviously, the WEF's going on right now, and all of your favorite actors, that was sarcasm, folks, are over right now in Davos. And it's interesting because things are a little different right now. But BlackRock CEO Larry Fink is really kicking things off. And you're going to see in clip 12, he does just that. Now, obviously, folks, there's some changes that have gone on at the WEF. And we'll have Larry Todden on in just a few moments, who's going to detail what he's seeing on the ground. But here's a very interesting clip from the BlackRock CEO yesterday in clip 12. Take a listen.
That's the goal of this year's World Economic Forum at Davos, to expose people to wider ranges of voices, to a wider range of ideas, maybe even an argument, but one that we have deeper understanding from. And I think not all of it's going to sound as good as the one that you enjoyed at that moment, like in music. And like in music, you're not going to agree with everything. But if you're willing to listen, it might leave something with you inside. It might stay with you. And maybe you will evolve and be better for it. And that's the mission of the World Economic Forum this week in Davos.
Now, obviously, it's going to be very, very interesting in Davos. And they're starting to have a change of tone. We'll play this with Larry when Larry comes on. But I wanted to talk with Larry about how things have changed in Davos. Now, again, Larry's on the ground. He's poking around. People feel very uncomfortable with Larry there. Why? Because, well, they know he's going to expose it. He knows, well, they know that he's going to expose whatever comes forward. And he's also there with Data Republican as well. They're both walking around and mingling. So we look forward to having him by phone in just a bit. But Ursula Lyon is also there. As many of you guys know, she is the president of the European Commission. And it was interesting, too, because she's talking about delinking from the U.S. dollar from gold. And now for the new, quote, global order. That was also stated yesterday at the convention. Take a listen to clip 14.
1971 was the year of the so-called Nixon shock. And the decision to delink the U.S. dollar from gold. In an instant, the foundations of the Bretton Woods system and the entire global economic order set up after the war effectively collapsed. But it also had two major effects. It inadvertently created the conditions for what would become a truly global order, and it provided a sharp lesson for Europe and on the need to strengthen its economic and political power. It was a warning to reduce our dependencies, in this case, on a foreign currency. The world may be very different today, without any question, but I believe the lesson is very much the same. That geopolitical shocks can and must serve as an opportunity for Europe. And in my view, the seismic change we are going through today is an opportunity, in fact, a necessity, to build a new form of Europe.
Now, I look forward to President Trump speaking out about that tomorrow. I'm sure he's going to have something to say in regards to her openly bragging about, obviously, this and pushing, of course, the global order, as she refers to in that clip. Again, this is a big issue right now, and it's a big standoff as well in Davos, because as many of you guys know, President Trump coming out and saying that he's going to begin imposing tariffs on certain European countries, those who are trying to create a wedge between his goal of owning Greenland. And he's very serious about that. He's very, very serious. But his Treasury Secretary is trying his very best to calm the tensions in Davos right now. And in clip 15, he tries to do just that. Take a listen.
But again, you say if there's a protracted trade war, why are we jumping there? Why are you taking it to the worst case? Calm down the hysteria. Take a deep breath. This is where we were last year. I'm sure you would have asked me the same question if we were here on April 2nd. And you know what? It all worked out. The economies are fine. We have a very good trade agreement. And I think our relations have never been closer.
We're working on a massive European investment surge in Greenland. We will work with Greenland and Denmark hand in hand to see how we can further support the local economy and infrastructure.
All right, obviously now they are starting to ramp that up. And obviously because President Trump has his eyes on Greenland, isn't it funny how the Europeans are trying to stand in our way? Folks, we're keeping our eye to all of that. Again, Larry Taunton will be joining us in just a little bit. Now, I don't know if you guys have seen, and we're going to talk about this throughout today's show, but it's the church protests. As many of you guys know, it's got a lot of people fired up. It's got a lot of people, we're going to play clip five for you. It's got a lot of people talking about the FACE Act. Now, you may have not known about the FACE Act. I learned about the FACE Act after one of my friends, Bev Williams, someone who I've known for a bit, someone who I've booked on several shows throughout my time in corporate media because she is an activist and she's done an incredible job at bringing a lot of attention to things like the Marxist BLM movement. You might remember Bev back in 2020 was pouring black paint on the BLM murals that were popping up all over major cities. And obviously that was very controversial, but she is someone who doesn't care. She loves her First Amendment and she's not shutting up about it anytime soon. And in fact, Bev carried on after the BLM riots and she decided that she was going to move on and go back to, I believe, protesting at abortion clinics. Now, what did that mean? That means that the Biden administration decided to declare Bev and dozens of other pro-lifers as the enemy. And they inflicted a lot of pain and suffering on these people. And they did so by weaponizing the FACE Act against them. Now, Bev was sentenced to 3 years in prison after sitting outside, I should say, and then having to stand up because people at this abortion clinic were very fired up that she was there and they were trying to push her out. Long story short, though, on that one, it resulted in Bev being sentenced to 3 years in prison because, again, the DOJ under Joe Biden weaponized the agency to go after those who were protesting peacefully outside of these clinics. And so the FACE Act was unleashed onto Bev and her family, and she was sentenced to 3 years in prison. Now, thankfully, after spending a couple of weeks in prison, President Trump did pardon her. Now, I got an exclusive sit down with Bev when she was officially released from prison. Take a listen to clip five.
What was your reaction to finding out that President Donald Trump was going to give you back your freedom?
I'm not going home. I'm not getting out of here. I'm stuck in this place. And it was really hard. It was so hard.
BLM was a communist agenda. And that was like a scapegoat to kind of say, oh, Trump's the problem. Get him out of office. Letitia James had initially tweeted that she was going to get me.
All right. So we're going to get you that exact point because it's about 23 minutes in. So let's take a listen now. Oh, do we have it ready?
I want to talk about the FACE Act. I think this is really interesting on how the FACE Act was used to go after you, but it wasn't just you. I believe you were one of three dozen, if I got that correct, other defendants, people who were, again, peacefully protesting, and the Biden DOJ decided to go after them. So let's talk a little bit about the FACE Act. Tell us why, number one, why you think that this was just wrong, that this was used against you, and what was the intentions of the FACE Act originally? Because I know that they manipulated it a little bit just to go out there and get you guys and nail you guys on criminal charges.
Right. So the FACE Act was created because I think like back in the 90s, you would have people who would go in with guns, shoot the clinic up, bomb the clinic. Like they operated with like severe violence towards abortion clinics. And so the liberals had presented the bill. But the thing is, for conservatives to sign on, they said, okay, if we're going to agree to this FACE Act, we have to also add pro-life clinics and we also have to add churches. And so technically, the FACE Act is supposed to protect both pro-choice and pro-life clinics as well as places of worship for individuals who want to go in, block people from entering, bomb the place, shoot it up. That's what that is for, okay? So it was never designed to interfere with your First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And the FACE Act says it's not designed to come against the First Amendment. So when someone is threatening, they have to be actually threatening. Like, hey, I'm going to punch you in the face. I'm going to kick you in the face. You can't just say, because I say this place is a place of murder, that's considered a threat and intimidating. So what they did was they manipulated my words by saying, well, it seems threatening. It seems intimidating, like a liberal would usually do, to initiate this law. And obviously, because Biden is their president, he's going to greenlight it because he's for abortion as well. And so what they did was they were like, you know, they returned Roe versus Wade back to the state, but they forgot this one. And this is the one we're going to hem them up on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what happened.
Obviously, as many people know, Bev Feider still fighting this battle, still looking to make sure that these changes are made. But the reality of it is that the Biden regime made these rules. If we're playing by the same set of rules, then yes, these people should, in fact, be held accountable. You see, I didn't support it when it was used to target pro-lifers. But now that we're on the other side of things, this is what needs to be done. You cannot sit there and go into a church and target Christians while they are sitting there and just trying to worship. That is not acceptable. That is not acceptable. And you can't allow it. You can't allow it. You can't just sit here and say, okay, well, it happened. It happened, and then move on. You can't. Because it won't stop. We're dealing with left-wing terrorists. Don Lemon is one of them. He's not a journalist. He's a liar when he tells you he's a journalist. He is a propagandist. He's a low-life loser. In fact, he is one of the dumbest human beings on earth. I'll play you a bunch of clips later on where we just highlight just that, because his stance, even on the pandemic, his stance during COVID, the push to vaccinate the entire country with a vaccine that they didn't even know what the long-term effects were. Well, he sat there obviously on a show and pushed it every day and then had no problem going after us for being intelligent, for not wanting to subject ourselves to an experiment. So Don Lemon is a piece of human garbage. You know that, I know that, we all know that. But he needs to be held accountable. Because although he's trying to pretend like he was just a journalist following a group of protesters, they weren't protesters. We know that because he put up footage that shows that he had inside sources, referring to it even as an operation, not a protest. Why is he repeatedly saying operation? Well, because, folks, that's what it was. The operation was to stop people from worshiping on a Sunday morning. You need to get fired up over this. You need to get angry over this. We need to draw the line. This crap can't happen. This can't happen. The Biden DOJ had no problem rounding up conservative Christians and tossing them in a prison cell. Well, now's your time, DOJ. Stop being a bunch of spineless cowards and go out there and start locking these people up. We sit back and we watch as they do it the second they get into power. They start rounding up innocent people from protests from years ago and then dragging them off because they're upset because Roe versus Wade was overturned. Well, now's the time. We get even, we set a tone, and we make sure that they don't do it again. And if Pam Bondi and all of her friends over at the DOJ aren't on board for that, then, Mr. President, it's time for you to toss her out. All right, folks, we have a lot happening over here, a lot more to discuss. We're going to take you to Davos in just a few moments. Larry Tonin is on the ground right now. He's calling into the show, as well as Joel Gilbert, who's making efforts to get Eric Swalwell pulled off the California governor's ballot. So we'll do that in just a little bit. In the meantime, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. When you support us over at the shop, well, you're helping us stay up and running and expose the truth. And we have a bunch of exclusives coming your way, and it's only made possible when you support us over at thealexjonesstore.com.
something feels wrong. There is a disturbance in the force. Someone is awake past their curfew. I sense unauthorized viewing. If they are watching what I think they're watching, there will be hell to pay. You are watching Alex Jones on the Death Star.
Lord Vader, it's not what it looks like.
Dew is here. I must find him before it's too late.
Did you hear something?
This place holds many secrets, and I am here to uncover them.
No way, I'm not getting involved with that. I feel the power surging through me. The Force is stronger than ever. Yes, Rob, yes. This is the ultimate power.
Sold out to it. They're blind to their cowards. You don't want to be part of them. Like Patrick Henry says, forget you are our brethren. Go from us in peace. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. Let your chains sit lightly upon you. As for me, give me liberty or give me death.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us. Right now, we're waiting on Larry Taunton to call into the program. Once he does, we'll bring that right to you because he's on the ground right now in Davos, as well as Jill Gilbert will be joining us because he's launching a new effort to get Eric Swalwell yanked from the ballot. Trying to run for governor of California. He doesn't want that to happen. And I don't think any of us would want that to happen in California either. So we'll be talking about that in a little bit, his efforts to get him pulled from the ballot. And also Eric Swalwell is responding. So we look forward to talking about that with him. But folks, a lot is happening right now in Davos. A lot is happening in Davos right now. We could actually take you to it for about a couple of seconds. Might as well to dip in and see what they're talking about right now. Larry Fink was just on the stage. And let's listen in.
Right where you have no connectivity while actually collecting data while you go through that environment. And every one of those things is like a dynamic challenge, none of which were foreseen even before the Ukraine. And every single battle zone in the world has a... By the way, the other thing is then people fight differently. So, like, if you look at the big battlefields, I'm sure some people love our work here and some people hate it, by the way. We welcome all opinions at Palantir. Even at, inside Palantir, we have people who love our work and people who are unhappy with the work. We welcome all.
That's a spirit of dialogue.
It's a spirit of dialogue with a somewhat of a leader. But, you know, if you look at, you know, how, you know, when the Ukrainians, it's a small team of people and very courageous soldiers.
All right, let's jump in here to, play a clip. I think I get you to a better spot right now. Yesterday, obviously, Larry Fink, who's now running all of this, he's the WEF co-chair, and obviously he is also the BlackRock CEO as well. But he yesterday acknowledged the issues with the global elites and how they've lost public trust. Take a listen to clip 13.
We believe that outside the United Nations, this is the largest gathering of global leadership of the post-COVID period of time. For many people, this meeting feels out of step with the moment. We hear all about the elites. And how does that play out in an age of populism? How does an established institution make a difference in an era of deep institutional mistrust? And there's some truth to the critique. I believe in this forum for a long time. I certainly wouldn't be leading this if I didn't believe that we can change and make the world better. But it's also obvious that the world now places far less trust in us to help shape what comes next. If the World Economic Forum is going to be useful going forward, it has to regain that trust.
I have a reason why they've lost public trust. Joining me to discuss is Larry Totten. He's on the ground right now in Davos, so he joins us by phone. He's also the host of Ideas Have Consequences, which I highly recommend you give a follow over on YouTube as well. Larry, it's good to have you on the phone right now. I know you and Data Republican are walking around Davos. What's going on over there that the people should know about?
Well, Brianna, first of all, it's great to be with you. Well, one of the things you discover wandering around Davos, Brianna, is there are no poor people. There's no poor people in Davos. And there's nobody, it seems to me, that has any ability whatsoever to read the room. I mean, wasn't it noble there of Larry Fink to say, oh, there's some validity to the critique. And he refers to them, to himself and others in the room, as elite. Brianna, I call them elitists. These are people who think they're better than the rest of us, and it's just the way they roll.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is the way they roll, and that's been always the biggest criticism of the WEF. So I'm glad that you're on the ground there right now. Things are a little different, though, because Klaus Schwab is not running the show.
Yes.
Well, the front of the show, we should say. Maybe he's behind the scenes doing more, but as of right now, he's not front and center in all of this. How are things different this time around in Davos?
Well, I think that's a really important point, Brianna, because Klaus Schwab is the founder and, until last year, the sole chair of the World Economic Forum, founded in 1972. And even though Schwab is not running things anymore, I don't think they got rid of him, Brianna, for ideological reasons, meaning I don't think we're going to see a big, you know, change in ideological direction with the WEF. And if you want to sound like an insider, they refer to it as the WEF. They refer to each other as WEFers, and we're not going to see a change there. I think they decided that Schwab was a little bit of an embarrassment because he looked and sounded like a Bond villain, and so they manufacture this, you know, workplace, you know, toxic workplace environment. I would have liked to see Schwab, you know, charged with crimes against humanity, but instead they got rid of him on this basis. I think you're going to see the WEF behave as business as usual, which is to say that I think it's important people listen to the language they use. Now, populism appeared right there in that quotation that you played, that little clip that you played. Populism is used in a very backhanded way to refer to anybody who doesn't agree with the World Economic Forum agenda. But another word they use that you should listen for is sustainability. Economic sustainability, population sustainability, agricultural sustainability. That is a word they use that is freighted with anti-human meaning, but they kind of disguise it in the way they use it. So right now it's Larry Fink's show, just as you pointed out, the CEO of BlackRock having managing some 14 trillion in assets. Managing some 14 trillion in assets, and Andre Hoffman, who is the CEO of, he's the other co-chair of Roche Pharmaceuticals, which is the largest family-owned pharmaceutical company in the world. So I don't think we're going to see a big change.
Yeah, and how do we get to this point, right? Because obviously they made this switch, but now we have a big pharmaceutical company, also co-chair. How did that change even occur? Because obviously, you know, we're talking about restoring public trust, and Americans, and I know even Europeans, don't trust big pharmaceutical companies. So that's not really a push to earn back public trust when you've got those two guys running the show.
Brianna, are you saying you haven't had your 10th booster yet?
I haven't. That's the reason why I'm still sane.
Well, you're 100% correct. I mean, it's almost like they were playing the stereotype. I mean, you would think if they really wanted to restore public trust, even if all they were doing was, you know, just trying to trick us with some kind of marketing gimmick, that they would have appointed somebody who seems to represent, you know, the masses. But instead, what do? They choose the head of one of the largest companies in the world, managing, again, $14 trillion in assets. And where is there more distrust than with pharmaceutical companies, as you just pointed out? And yet, these two guys are now the co-chair. I think, Brianna, that the thing that's so important and that you realize when you've got boots on the ground in Davos is that there's just a total disconnect from the real world. So take, for example, Ursula von der Leyen. She's the president of the EU Commission. And so she flies in to Davos in a private jet, as they all do. Doesn't take a car, Brianna, into Davos. So she flies in a helicopter, where she then transfers to a 585-horsepower, 12-cylinder BMW. Now, I have no problem with 12-cylinder BMWs. I'd like to own one. But I wouldn't then get out of it, as she did, walk across the red carpet, and then speak to the assembled and lecture them on their carbon footprint. And the amazing thing is, it's not that they don't even see themselves as hypocrites. They see nothing hypocritical in that. The important thing is they see themselves as the exception. You see, they didn't hide any of that because they think those kind of rules don't apply to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why we refer to them as the elitists, because that's exactly how they behave. And
100%.
It's not really surprising. Larry, I know we're going to have you back on the show throughout the week as you continue to poke around in Davos. So we look forward to having you back on for our audience. So if you want to follow his coverage, you got to head on over to X, give him a follow, Larry Taunton. That's where you could find him at. You could also find him over on YouTube as well, because he's the host of Ideas Have Consequences. So make sure you give him a follow now, because Larry, you're one of the very few who's brave enough to head over to Davos and be there this week. So we're excited to see your coverage, and we're excited to see how you cover also President Trump, who's arriving tomorrow. So we look forward to that over on your X page as well.
Thanks so much, Brianna. You can congratulate me for being brave in about 10 days when I'm in Gaza.
I know. Both you and Dad are Republican, and that's my girl. I mean, she's out there with you right now, poking around.
That's right.
And
she's sitting right next to me.
Well, send her our very best. We do love her dearly, and she does incredible work, the both of you do. So I know you guys both together are dangerous in Davos, so thank you.
All right, you take care, Brianna.
You as well, my friend, you as well. That is Larry Taunton right now, who's on the ground in Davos. Folks, to follow him on X, if you haven't done so already, it's at Larry Taunton. He's also, again, the host of Ideas Have Consequences. We'll have him back on the show giving us more updates as to what's happening on the ground in Davos. I don't know if most people even realize that the changeover over at the WEF even happened, but to hear that it's being run by the BlackRock CEO as well as a massive pharmaceutical company CEO. Yeah, I mean, no surprise there as they jokingly talk about earning back public trust. All right, folks, in just a few moments, we'll have Joel on the program. Joel Gilbert is pushing back, and he does this quite often, but this time the filmmaker is pushing back to get Eric Swalwell pulled off of the governor's ticket. He's trying to run for governor, Eric Swalwell, and Joel's saying, no, he can't because he's not a resident here. He doesn't live here. He's claiming residency in D.C. So Joel will talk to us in just a little bit about that challenge as we look forward to having him on the show. Joel is actually ready right now. So let's bring in Joel Gilbert, because Joel's done an incredible job, as many of you guys know, pushing the envelope on a lot. He's a filmmaker, journalist, and a political commentator. He's often also on InfoWars as well, but he caught a lot of mainstream attention. And so it's great to have Joel on, because yesterday, I know I was giving you all the update on the show in regards to his efforts to get Eric Swalwell yanked from the ticket. I mean, obviously, Joel, Eric Swalwell is trying to run for governor, which, you know, I don't like going to California, I'll say, but we don't wish this on Californians. They don't deserve Eric Swalwell as their punishment, but you're doing your very best to push back, and even Swalwell is commenting on that. So for our audience, Joel, can you break down the very latest as to your push to get Eric Swalwell yanked from the ticket?
Yeah, I started looking into a lot of Democrat politicians, starting with Letitia James back in March, and I discovered that Letitia James had been committing mortgage fraud for 43 years based on her apartment building in New York and property she bought in Virginia. She was eventually indicted, in part based on my work. And I kept looking at other Democrat politicians to see if they were also playing fast and loose with the mortgage laws. I looked at Eric Swalwell, especially because he always portrays himself as morally superior. And he's somebody that is this kind of far left radical figure. And sure enough, I looked at his public mortgage documents. They're all public on the Washington, D.C. website. And I found that he declared in his mortgage document, in his deed of trust for his home purchase in Washington, D.C., he told the bank it would be his principal residence. And the reason you do that is because you get the lowest possible mortgage rates when you're going to live in the house. Mm-hmm. However, Swalwell also did not have any residence in California. So I wrote about this, and he actually got referred to the Department of Justice by Bill Polte for possible mortgage fraud, because on the one hand, now he's running for governor. He's saying, oh, I live in California, so I can run for governor, because the California Constitution says you have to live in the state for 5 years prior to an election. So Swalwell is saying, oh, I live in California. But he's telling the bank that his primary residence, he lives in D.C. So either he's committing mortgage fraud in D.C. or he's not eligible to run for governor. I also found that on his official candidate submitted to the state of California, he provided his home address as his attorney's address, further indicating he does not have any physical address in California and is not eligible. I also looked at his financial records and realized that he probably can't afford a house in California because he hasn't paid down $100,000 in student debt all the years he's been in Congress making $174,000 a year. He still owes $100,000 in credit cards, and he cashed out his pension, which is a big red flag. So I've been writing about this in Gateway Pundit for a while. Daily Mail picked it up, New York Post, Fox Digital. It's just gone to be a huge national story now. I even attended a town hall of Eric Swalwell's in Santa Monica 2 weeks ago. Didn't say one word. I just sat there, and he had these three goons kick me out. So he's definitely afraid to answer the question.
Yeah, well, Joel, I mean, we have the video of what he did to you when you made your appearance at that town hall, and we'll play that as B-roll for right now. But you know, Eric Swalwell is responding to what you're working on. And in part, it says, this made me laugh. Like all congressmen from California, I live in California and D.C. He then goes on to call you a MAGA idiot, also tried to smear Obama, Al Gore, and Elvis. They ignored him. But, you know, Joel, you are highly respected in this space, given the fact that you've dug into a lot of these situations that he's listing here, and you've exposed a lot of this. So obviously, if it wasn't something that did have a serious threat on his wishes to become the governor of California, he wouldn't be responding to you in the first place. But what's your response to Eric Swalwell claiming that he has residency in two different states?
Well, I actually filed a petition. It's called a writ of mandate with the Secretary of State, asking the court to force the Secretary of State of California to disqualify Swalwell. So that petition is in the courts. We're going to have a hearing hopefully in the next week or two. And Swalwell will get disqualified. So as you saw, the only thing I guess he could do is try to taunt me on Twitter. That's what he does. He says, I'll see you in court. But he's a lawyer, but he seems not to realize that he's not being sued. I'm taking an action against the Secretary of State of California, not Swalwell. He won't be in court. So every time he says something or tweets something or signs a document, it's always problematic. It's always like way off.
Yeah.
So Swalwell is, I think, pretty desperate. He's probably planned for years to run for governor. I think he identified the California governor's race that if you win the Democrat primary, you're almost automatically going to be governor. He also identified that the people who vote in the primary are the far left radical leftists mostly that even bother to vote in the primary. And that's why he positioned himself as this far left anti-Trump, radical. And I think he plans to become governor and lead some kind of insurrection against Trump. And then I think he does plan to run for president as well. I think there's a good chance he gets derailed because he absolutely declared his primary residence as Washington, D.C. He has no address in California. And the California Constitution is very clear. You have to live in the state for 5 years prior to running.
And Joel, would this call into question the current seat he has right now in Congress then, if this is proven to be truthful, though? Because the reality of it is if he's not living in California at all, how does he still hold a congressional seat?
Well, the laws to be a congressman are a little bit looser. Mm-hmm. You don't actually have to live in your district, but the Constitution says you have to be an inhabitant of your state. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit looser. The California Constitution is very tough on running for governor. You have to be a resident of the state for a full 5 years. Swalwell has no address in California. He's actually used his campaign address for 10 years. He had in his campaign statements for Congress, the first two campaigns, 2011, 2013, he had a physical address. But after that, for the past 10 years, he's had no address. He always uses a campaign address, which is actually perjury. You're not allowed to misrepresent your home address on the official candidate statements.
Interesting, interesting. And I also see for our audience, I want you to tell them a little bit about it. Swalwellisdisqualified.com is the website I believe you set up. Give us some details on that.
Yeah, Swalwellisdisqualified.com. I've got all of the court documents are on there. I got a little introduction that explains the case. On the top, you can see his Form 501 on the header where his candidate information statement, he uses his attorney's address. You can see his home in Washington, D.C. on the left, which he actually blurred out on Google Maps a couple weeks ago, so it's actually a big blur. All the court petitions are linked there. All my articles in Gateway Pundit are linked, and all of Swalwell's public documents are right there for you to download, his financial disclosures in Congress, his mortgage documents, even his divorce document from 2009, where him and his ex-wife were fighting over can openers and napkin rings. So Swalwell's a mess. His finances are a mess. His disclosures are a mess. When you hear him talk, he's a mess.
Yeah. No, he's always been a mess. And I would love for him to step into the presidential race as well for 2028, possibly, or whatever one he's looking to run for. I think it'd be great so we could expose him for more of his relationships with the CCP spy. I think he thinks that won't come to surface, but I think we'd learn a lot more on that front as well. Joel, you're doing great work. And for our audience, again, check it out. Swalwellisdisqualified.com. Joel, you're doing great work again. So for our audience, give him a follow on X as well. Joel S. Gilbert is where you could find him on X as well. We look forward to following this as it develops. Thank you, my friend, for sticking up. We appreciate this so much.
A lot more to come. Stay tuned. Thank you.
Yeah, we look forward to just that. So thank you, Joel. Joel's doing incredible work. You know, Larry Tayton's doing incredible work. We've got a lineup of incredible work being done by some great patriots today on today's show. More coming in just a little bit as well, where we're going to break down the latest going on in the fraud. As many of you guys know, New York is also signing up right now to expand their child daycare services in New York City. Of course, it's being pushed by a foreigner. As many of you guys know, it's at this point, we could just probably say it, even though there's been no hard convictions from the latest round of claims that have been made. But the reality of it is a lot of these services, these daycare services, which were intended to help hardworking Americans, are in fact being abused by foreigners. Liz Joy, she's the Schenectady County GOP chairwoman, will be joining us to break down what's happening in New York, because New York is expanding this, even though in other states they're now being exposed for the fraud. New York is deciding to take in one more direction, which is the wrong direction, some might say, and they are expanding their big push. So we'll play that for you as well, the latest on that in just a bit. I wanted to get this clip. I'll probably, you know, step in on it in a little bit too, but I want to play the starting of this because Al Gore's out here pushing, of course, what Al Gore pushes best. And that's this fear-mongering campaign and telling you, the American people, that it's going to lead to climate refugees. But this time, the climate refugees are in the billions. Take a listen to clip 10 and his specific words that he uses to outline that fear-mongering campaign.
Beyond that, there are very tiny areas in the world today that are physiologically unlivable. In the Sahara Desert, a few places around the Persian Gulf, the combination of heat and humidity makes it impossible for people to live for more than 4 or 5 hours outdoors. Those areas are now beginning to expand dramatically. And the World Health Organization's Climate Committee says that by 2050, we could have 1 to 2 billion climate migrants crossing international borders. A few million coming from the Eastern Mediterranean with the climate drought there led to Viktor Orban and Brexit and the authoritarian-friendly governments that have emerged. It's hard to imagine what a billion climate migrants would do to our capacity for self-governance. And we're in danger of crossing some so-called negative tipping points, like the shutting down of the Gulf Stream. Sounds like a science fiction movie, and it was. But it's now a very real threat, and there are others. So we are now trapping as much heat with this pollution every day as would be released by 750,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs exploding every 24 hours. That's insane for us to allow that to continue.
Is there any?
Oh, man, Al Gore is still pushing it. He's not giving up anytime soon on his agenda. He's got to keep pushing the lie, the fear-mongering campaign, to tell you all that if you don't crunch down on all of this, you're going to get 2 billion climate migrants. Okay, good luck. Nothing he said has ever added up to be factually true, but then again, they do give him a platform repeatedly to continue to spew those lies, that fear-mongering campaign, and so much more. Folks, head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. We have some incredible deals going on right now. T-shirts are about 25% off right now. Hats are 20% off right now. Hoodies are 25% off right now. So the discounts vary over at thealexjonesstore.com. That's why you got to head on over there for yourself and take a look around. Also, some of your favorite vitamins are also on sale, up to 40% off of the Ultimate Burn, sea moss capsules and the gummies, and the colostrum as well. So many discounts up right now at thealexjonesstore.com. You should probably stop what you're doing and head on over there right now. Right, we got more to discuss in a bit. Don't go anywhere.
The sleeping giant that is humanity is rising. If you won't stand up against tyranny, you'll all be a slave. If your town is moving, they will push you around and make you their slave. Become men again. Become women again. Stand up.
They've sold out to it. They're blind to their cowards. You don't want to be part of them. Like Patrick Henry says, forget you are our brethren. Go from us in peace. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. Let your chains sit lightly upon you. As for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The truth is out there, and they don't want you to know it. There's still people that don't want to believe me out there. How are you going to tell me that Frog isn't totally gay?
Well, damn, I guess Alex was right. That frog was super gay.
happening everywhere all across the country. We're going to be covering it in just a little bit, though, in New York, because there's been two recent pleas that have just taken place in a massive Medicaid scandal. And of course, you know, it's the same type of people who are behind all of this. You know, we've been hyper-focused on Minnesota, and I'm like trying to figure out, like, all right, let's expose the rest of it. Let's not just focus on Minnesota, because we know it's happening all across the country, specifically though in blue states. And yes, of course it happens everywhere, but Democrats have allowed these individuals to steal from the American people. They've made things simpler for them. We'll get to that in a little bit. Liz Joy joining us. She is now, and I'm very proud of her for this new title. She's now the Schenectady County GOP chairwoman, and she's shaking things up. We'll go to her in about 3 minutes. But folks, this is going to be a big one. I don't think people realize in New York what's really happening there. They're widening all of this, making it possible for fraud to be committed. And sadly, Democrats just don't seem to care because, well, we all know why. We all know why. There's also a project that's deeply, deeply concerning that even former Democrat Eric Adams got shut down in regards to creating rent-stable departments for ex-cons. Again, folks, things are rapidly declining in New York City, and people need to learn the effects. This is what happens when you vote for a communist, an Islamist. People thought, oh, we're just going to get some free incentives. No, you are going to become very unsafe where you live. Your homes are going to be potentially robbed. You can't defend yourself. You're literally going to be living in a communist hellhole. And that's what's happening right now in New York City as we're watching, as if it couldn't get any worse. We're watching it get worse. Liz Joy will be sounding off on that. Also, you know, we keep hearing from the DOJ that they're going to be landing indictments, making arrests possibly, and alluding to just that. But the reality of it is that really what's happening? Are we really going to see some major arrests? Well, Joseph McBride, obviously, as many of you guys know, because he's a guest of this show quite often, is a trial attorney. But most importantly, he was in the fight when it came to the lawfare that was taking place. And he's been following all this, and he'll be joining our show in a little bit as well to break that down for us. Because we keep mentioning the FACE Act. I don't know if the average American is aware of the FACE Act. I got a 101 lesson as to what the FACE Act was all about when we saw pro-lifers getting wrapped up and arrested for peacefully protesting outside of abortion clinics. You know, we played in the open of the show, my girl, Bev Williams, by the way, who is an amazing patriot. I spoke with her exclusively when she came out of prison because President Trump pardoned her. But the woman's an absolute patriot. Absolute patriot. And they locked her up for peacefully protesting outside of abortion clinic, trying to say that she caused injuries. She didn't. She didn't. But if we're all playing by the same rules, then yeah, these people need to get locked up. They need to get locked up. I'm tired of this double standard where we only apply these laws strategically to conservatives. Because why not? Why not? Why not send a 75-year-old grandma to prison for peacefully protesting outside of an abortion clinic? Folks, what the Biden regime did to this country cannot be forgotten, cannot be forgiven, and there needs to be massive, massive prosecutions across all of this. And again, we keep calling on it. Will the DOJ actually listen? Well, we're going to keep applying pressure. The president seems to be fed up, but he's not trying to be as direct, trying to lightly tap dance around it. I'm going to be as direct as possible, though, when I tell you that they're not doing this job efficiently enough. And don't give me there's process that they have to abide by. We sat back and watched as the weaponized DOJ went after people for taking an unauthorized tour of the Capitol on January 6th. People who were peacefully protesting outside of abortion clinics were getting raided by the feds. So we've seen it. We've seen it all play out. So we're not going to sit here and pretend like it's a process, because when Democrats were in control, well, they seem to know how to expedite that process. All right, we're diving into more in just a little bit. Buckle up, folks. We have so much more to discuss, even exclusives into the third hour of the program. Also, Lauren Chen will be joining us in this hour of the show as well. So we've got a lot happening, jam-packed program for you. Don't go anywhere. More to discuss in just 1 minute.
B- Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, we got our eye on what's going on in Davos right now. The World Economic Forum kicked off yesterday. This is day two now. And, well, there's some big news being made. I'm sure none of you are going to be rushing to create an account, but the WEF is saying that they've created a new social media platform as an alternative to X because free speech is toxic. So if you don't want to have free speech, head on over to something called the W, which they've now just launched, it looks like. We'll bring you the details on that as it develops. But, of course, those over at the WEF right now are pushing this because free speech is their number one enemy these days because they cannot control the message. When you're able to speak freely. No surprise there. All right, folks, we are keeping our eye on a lot of things, specifically, though, the fraud that's been going on all across the country. As many of you guys know, fraud in the billions is being exposed all across the country. We're watching it obviously play out in Minnesota, California, but the focus also should be on New York. Now, New York has been, according to the current federal government, taking your taxpayer dollars and using it to pay the expenses of illegal aliens when they make trips to the hospital, which apparently, according again to this current administration, is something they're not supposed to be doing. And they are potentially going to be seeking reimbursement for the illegals who have been billed at the federal expense. That announcement came out yesterday specifically to California as well, but also looping New York into that. But interesting enough, although there's tons of fraud going all around the country that's being exposed right now, Democrats in New York aren't buckling up anytime soon. In fact, they are looking to create more programs, which could potentially lead to more fraud. I'm talking about Zohran Mamdani, who is now, sadly, the New York City mayor. Zohran Mamdani yesterday, or I should say the other day, unveiled a new plan. Now, this plan is supposed to give universal child care to New Yorkers. Now, New Yorkers, folks, not Americans, let's just say New Yorkers, because it's very likely that illegal aliens will be swept up into this as well. But he detailed his plans in clip 16. Take a listen.
Not only when we make pre-K truly universal, but expand this care to include all 2- and 3-year-olds across the city. As the governor said, we will deliver to care by working in partnership with child care providers, especially home-based providers. Who have been doing this work without thanks or recognition for far too
long. Now, of course, this all sounds really good and it sounds like something that we could all get in line with. But the reality of it is yes, these things are fraudulently used. And I don't think the rest of us would actually get in line with that. That's just me trying to play nice with them. But the reality of it is the fraud is the big issue here. They've created this massive, massive hole where a lot of foreigners are taking advantage of U.S. taxpayers. And as it's starting to get exposed, I think most Americans are fed up. They've had enough. But there have been small little indictments here and there. And I know a lot of people are talking about this one. This one dropped last week. Now, there were 8 people rounded up into all of this, but there were 2 individuals, 2 key defendants who pleaded guilty on Thursday of last week. They were participants in a $68 million adult daycare fraud scheme. That's according to the Department of Justice. They are saying that they have pled guilty to conspiring to defraud Medicaid by paying health care kickbacks for services that they were not providing. Now, again, this is 2 Brooklyn-based social adult daycare centers and home health care companies.
So again, this is a massive one, and it's just one of many, many being exposed. Joining me to detail all of this is Liz Joy, who has the brand new title as the Schenectady County GOP chairwoman since we last spoken to her. So Liz, congratulations on that. I know the last time we had you on, you didn't have that title, but you do now. And so it's very exciting to see. But, you know, we're talking about fraud here, and we're talking about how it's being exposed all across the country. And while most states, if they're responsible, are going to look to prevent fraud from taking place, it looks like New York is actually expanding the opportunity for fraudsters to get a hold of taxpayer dollars. What do you make of the very latest?
I was really astounded. Number one, I want to say thank you so much to our incredible Homeland Security Investigations Task Force that absolutely worked very hard and uncovered this massive, egregious fraud. And thank you to you for, giving such great coverage to this story. This is no surprise, really, to New Yorkers. We all know that there's fraud in New York. As a matter of fact, you know, the budget that they're pushing through for 2026, I think it's, $255 billion, you know, to the New York taxpayers. And the largest portion of that, budget is to Medicaid. And what was this, which you just were talking about? $68 million worth of Medicaid fraud that was uncovered by this, I guess, several individuals. Really, it was one company. It was a daycare company, but also they also had the billing. Company as well. And what they were doing was laundering money and giving kickbacks to people. The marketers were involved. The people that owned these fake daycare providing centers were involved. And people, the biggest issue here is not only the fraud and how it harms the taxpayers, but our very vulnerable Medicaid citizens that didn't get the services that they need, and the families that needed these citizens to get the care that didn't have their families get the care. So this is just, I think, one of very many, very serious issues that's going on here in New York State. You have to remember also that we are a sanctuary state. Kathy Hochul talks about us being a sanctuary state. And you have to remember that she campaigned on and talked about that she was not going to work with Homeland Security. She wasn't going to do that. And you saw all the problems before President Trump was elected, where they were going back and forth. You saw all the problems that Mayor Adams had, and you saw what Mamdani campaigned on, you know, as far as being against, in my opinion, all of the Homeland Security. So regardless of the efforts to prevent Homeland Security from doing their jobs, they still uncovered this massive fraud, which we need to know about, because the taxpayers are being pillaged here, and we're having to provide these funds to people that appears in the fraud, some of the services were not even within the United States. Kickbacks were going back to people outside of the United States, to your point that you just said, to foreigners. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to find, I couldn't, please, maybe you know the answer here. Were these people that committed this fraud, were they actual citizens? That is something that I wasn't able to find in the articles that I was reading. I wanted to know, are these people illegal citizens? And I know they're facing jail time. I know that there's a maximum sentence, I think, of 10 to 20 years. They should get the maximum, I believe. But this is just one small problem here, contributing to not only our bloated budget, but also contributing to the massive healthcare costs that we have here in New York State. Why our premiums are so high, why our hospitals are suffering, because so much is going to fraud, and we have a real problem here.
Yeah, we do have a real problem here, Liz, and this is why it's so important to call it out when you see it beginning. And it's, I mean, obviously, this is the federal government who indicted them, by the way. So it's very clear that this little tip came in, obviously, and they investigated it, and it blew open a $68 million fraudulent scheme that was going on. But again, that's the Fed stepping in, and that's really important to highlight that. Before you go, Liz, I just wanted to ask you this quick question, too, because I see what's going on in New York City, and we've been warning about it for quite some time. But Zohran Mamdani, the New York City mayor, has just brought back a plan that the previous Democrat who was running New York City, Eric Adams, shut down, didn't want anything to do with. It has to do with, as they call, a supportive housing project, which will provide 83 rent-stabilized apartments to ex-cons, those senior citizens, formerly incarcerated, those who have maybe possibly complex health medical issues. They are going to be receiving access to all of this. Now, obviously, you don't want these people living on the streets when they are released from prison, but is it fair to say that New York City is doing more to help ex-cons at this point than its own citizens who are law-abiding, who don't even have access to rent-stabilized apartments?
Right. We've seen the affordability crisis in New York City for several years where people have not been able to afford decent housing and the costs of housing. I just think that these things are, look, yes, I believe that they should have decent housing. Yes, I believe that they should have access to decent health care. But you have to remember that previous administrations here, you have to remember we're closing hospitals, we're closing mental health hospitals, we're closing prisons at record rate here. People have been turned out onto the streets. There's homelessness, there's violence. Again, I want to point out sanctuary cities here. So I want to know, what's the vetting process for these people? Where's the money coming from? How much of the tax budget is being used for something like this? And what about our veterans? What about the veterans that need the housing? What about real Americans who have been here and are American citizens that need housing? You know, there's so much that needs to be addressed. I want to see people get housed. Of course, we're compassionate New Yorkers, but at the same time, the waste and the fraud and the abuse, and just put for 83 or 80 units.
Yeah.
Who are the people that are paying for that? How are they being vetted? What services are they receiving? And are there going to be more of these?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the questions that I have that I didn't see anything about.
Yeah.
You know, they just throw out these titles and say the things that they're doing and all the good things that they want people to buy into.
Yeah.
But the reality is there are people that have to pay for it, and it's the taxpayers that have to pay for it, because the government really doesn't generate money. You know, it's not like they're not really producers generating the money. And we have more New Yorkers fleeing New York than ever before, especially New York City.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of questions about it, you know, and those are some of them.
Yeah, Liz, we all have a lot of questions, and what's going on in New York is something we're going to keep our eye on. So we look forward to having you back on. Liz Joy, thank you for being here. As always, you are the chairwoman for the Schenectady County GOP, and you are a fighter for New Yorkers, conservative New Yorkers especially. So it's always an honor to chat with you. Thank you, Liz. We appreciate your time.
Great to see you. Thank you.
It's always great to see you, Liz Joy. All right, folks, we are buckling down because we're trying to see, is the DOJ just talking a whole bunch of junk? Well, the DOJ says that it's going to go after the individuals that decided to go inside of a church to protest on Sunday. Harmeet Dillon, who obviously is now running the civil rights division over at the DOJ, spoke out about this in Clip 17 yesterday about the potential charges that those that went inside of the church, including Don Lemon, are currently facing. Take a listen.
We will pursue charges in this case. I see various crimes that have occurred. Exactly what they are, I'm not going to flag, but the FACE Act has been mentioned as one of the predicates there. In other cases, the Biden DOJ used the Klan Act conspiracy charges tacked on to the FACE Act in the case of protests outside abortion clinics to bring much longer sentences. So there are a number of tools available to us. Who funded this? What else? What other crimes may have occurred? Was there a use of the wires or the mails in preparing for this event? Did anyone cross state lines to do this? All of those are potential predicates for additional federal charges.
And that's the important part here, is that these are charges potentially being looked into. But again, I've explained to you what the FACE Act is in regards to the pro-lifers who were wrapped up and tossed into prison under the Biden regime. So what should be done now? Joining me to discuss is Joseph McBride. He is an expert on the law affair that came out from the Biden regime. He's also a trial lawyer and a strategist, and he's with us now. And Joseph, it's always an honor to have you on the program to catch up on these things. You know, Harmeet Dillon yesterday caught a lot of attention when she put out there that these individuals are being investigated. And then she also mentions the FACE Act as the potential here. You know, Bev Williams, friend of mine, a good person, great person, actually, a patriot, Christian. She went out there and protested outside of an abortion clinic peacefully, and the DOJ decided to go after her under the Biden regime, and she was sentenced to 3 years in prison. So now we're sitting here looking at what happened on Sunday with those so-called protesters who went inside of that church in Minneapolis and did their very best to intimidate those who were just trying to worship. Do you think that the FACE Act should be utilized here?
I think that a criminal investigation should take place. The FACE Act is one of the legal mechanisms under which an investigation could meaningfully take place. There's the Klan Act as well. There's other constitutionally protected rights and laws that have been violated here. Historically, I'm somebody who's opposed the FACE Act. This is because it's, you know, what does it mean? FACE Act is the freedom of access to clinic entranceways, right? It's a pro-abortion law that has been used to, number one, protect abortion rights, which I disagree with, and number two, to sort of attack people who exercise their First Amendment objections to abortion clinics murdering children. So historically, there's been a heavy-handed left-wing application in favor of lefties against people who were on the right. So just as a matter of first impression, I don't like this law. Now, can the law be used against Don Lemon and the group of people that he infiltrated that church with? It's possible. I just don't know how legitimate or how much teeth this law actually has. So it's going to be interesting to see. But what I can say, what does the law really speak about? The FACE Act also protects a United States citizens and American citizens' right to worship peacefully, absent government intrusion, absent intrusion by a hate group, and absent intimidation by people who disagree with a person's religious views. Religious views are protected. Religious speech, religious exercise is protected under the First Amendment. It's right up there in plain language. So the idea that Don Lemon and a group of hateful people crossed the threshold of a church door and infiltrated the church door during live service and went to a pastor and made children and women cry in that congregation on its face is very, very wrong. And he can be sued for it. He should be sued for it by the members of that church. And he can be held criminally liable by United States government. So the FACE Act is a good idea, but I think that the constitutional protections that the First Amendment and other relevant case law give has a lot more strength and a lot more teeth than just the FACE Act by itself. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. Well, that's the important part here too. And before you came on, I played a clip from Bev Williams when we sat down to talk about how she was just pardoned by President Trump last year, but she also detailed about her efforts to stop the FACE Act from being implemented because it was weaponized and it's not being used for the proper reasons. And so based on what her views are, they pretty much do align with what you're saying here. And so, yeah, Joseph, that does make sense. But here's the thing. We have the Minnesota Attorney General right now, Keith Ellison, who's also currently being investigation for his alliance with a lot of these fraudsters that have been caught over these last few years ripping off taxpayers. But he's claiming in clip 19 that even though there were children who were terrorized by that so-called protest that took place, by the way, Don Lemon refers to it as an operation, not a protest, he believes that it's protected under the First Amendment. Take a listen.
Do with whether they're going to focus or investigate you. So I wish in a normal time I would say no. I say this is First Amendment activity. In time like this, it's just really difficult to say. Because the only one thing is clear. If Trump likes you, you can do no wrong. If he doesn't, he's going to use every weapon he can against you, including our criminal justice system.
Okay, McBride, it sounds like they're trying to say that these protesters also have rights to obviously the First Amendment to protest, but it's my belief that this is private property. When they tell them to leave, they have to get out of there. Is that the case?
Look, first and foremost, Keith Ellison is a disgusting anti-white, anti-Christian bigot who makes you want to puke. Yeah. If I was in a room with him for more than 5 minutes, there'd probably be a massive problem. I can't stand the air that man breathes. That's number one, Brianna. Number two, that is not constitutionally protected activity. Mm-hmm. We know from the January 6th body of litigation, which is very relevant and on point here, that once a person or a group of people interfere with a federal investigation or interfere with a function of government, that is not constitutionally protected speech. We argued in January 6th cases at length that we thought that the actions of these men and women were protected under the First Amendment. The courts unilaterally said to us time and time again, it's not going to happen. The actions of those people are not protected. That is codified case law. It's recent. It's on point. There is no protection for Don Lemon here. There is no protection for the people that he infiltrated that church with. Moreover, when you look at the language of the FACE Act, what's interesting about it is it speaks about obstructing, intimidating, stopping, and interrupting religious services. He did all of those things. So he's guilty of the FACE Act, of the violations of the FACE Act on his face. The actions here are not protected. Keith Ellison is a prejudice bigot. He's a partisan hack who will cut off his nose despite his own face. If this were reversed, and if this was Alex Jones infiltrating a mosque or Sean Hannity infiltrating a synagogue, let's say, can you imagine the blowback? Can you imagine what the ADL would be saying? Can you imagine what other religious rights activists would be saying and what members of the left-wing media would be saying about what should take place? But because this is a black, gay, lefty American man who infiltrated a Christian, a church in Minneapolis, they don't want to hear about it. Don Lemon is using his identity and identity politics. The fact that he's black, the fact that he's gay, the fact that he's 14 other things, who cares? He's using it as a shield to hide himself, to hide behind, to attack other American citizens in violation of their constitutional rights. Being gay and being black does not give you the right to disrupt the church service. It does not give you the right to intimidate people. It does not give you the right to kick in the door like the Ku Klux Klan or the Black Panthers or any other kind of deranged group to interrupt people who are faithfully and meaningfully participating in their constitutionally protected rights to worship Jesus Christ in the United States of America. Don Lemon should be sued. Don Lemon should go to jail. Keith Ellison is nothing but a problem. The man is a joke. And if President Trump, you cannot miss this opportunity. You cannot miss this opportunity to go after Don Lemon, to make an example out of him, and to go after the other people who are supporting the infiltration of the church. It's one thing you got these lunatics in the street. It's another thing. There are two sides, maybe. You can argue some people are pro-ICE, other people are against ICE. It's a little bit more convoluted. It's a little bit more complicated. But infiltrating a church while people are worshiping Jesus Christ in this country is intolerable. Mm-hmm. You have to act. You have to act now. You have to take swift, decisive action to make an example of Don Lemon and those lunatics who harassed those people and prevented them from worshiping in that beautiful church in Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah. McBride, I'm on board with this. I think we need actual action here, not just empty threats. And that would come in the form of criminal charges as well as lawsuits, as you just detailed there. Justin McBride, you do an incredible job all the time when you join us. So thank you, my friend. Folks, give him a follow on X, McBride Law NYC. That's McBride Law NYC on X. Thank you, Joseph McBride. All right, folks, buckle up. Lauren Chen is joining the show in just a few moments. And we're going to be asking her about the Biden regime DOJ. What happened there when they decided to go after her and pretend like she was a Russian propagandist? Well, she's going to detail just that for us in just a moment.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
And now a major shipment has finally come back in for those of you that want to be able to stock up on it at InfoWarsStore.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said, This was the best spike protein detoxer she found.
Just like you want your own body to make vitamin D from the sunlight, you can't force it back in people who can't make it. It can actually hurt them. It's called peroxynitrites. So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf, and I feed myself the Cardio Miracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one, and the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
Because of the organic-based compounds that are in it that cause vasodilation in the blood vessels, in the arteries, in the veins, in the capillaries. And it just does so many other great things.
So constricted blood vessels too, because athletes are running, they're constricted, they're working so that the blood flows and it doesn't flow, which is why your nitric oxide product, that new product, I hope you'll show it, because that's a very important thing to have for acute events. Dissolve under the tongue, give you an instant relaxing of your endothelium, your vasculature.
Now listen, it is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. I was just researching and wanting to put something out that was good for the heart and talked to a lot of scientists and researchers I knew, and they said, well, these are the type of ingredients we were thinking about putting out a product. When I talked to formulators, they said, well, we actually already have a product that has that, so we private labeled it as Nitric Boost. And just for men in the morning when you wake up, that's the big thing people feel and see right away. So imagine what else it's doing for your body. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win. But regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So it's a paradox. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. And listen, men feel it in that one way. Women love it as well. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.
Welcome to the Great Reset. Eat the bugs. You will own nothing and you will be happy. Take the vaccine. Trust the science. Get your booster. Every crisis is an opportunity, and the world will be reshaped in our vision. Down with the globalists. Get Ultra Methylene Red at thealexjonesstore.com.
Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you guys are all with us today. We have a packed house, packed show today, and a lot to expose. So we look forward to doing just that. But I want to take you back to 2024. As many of you guys know, it was a very heated election year because a lot was on the line. And so I warned everyone from day one, pay attention to what's going to happen, because I could promise you the Biden regime is going to try its very best to slander conservatives, and they did just that. As many of you guys probably recall, there was this big scandal that they were pushing out there in the mainstream media. They tried to say that some top conservative voices were receiving millions of dollars from the Russians. Now, anytime you hear Russians, it's always a red flag for me, and I'm sure for all of you at home. But the reality of it is, there were no criminal complaints actually, or there were no criminal charges filed against the conservative influencers that they named. They were trying their very best, again, to pretend like they weren't targeting them while making leaks to the media. It was a train wreck. As many of you guys are probably figuring out right now when you're trying to connect the dots, I'm referring to Tenet Media. That was the group that they were trying to push as the big group that was taking money from the Russians. Now, again, folks,
That, as soon as I heard it, I knew it was a big red flag. It didn't seem to make sense, but they were able to successfully loop in some really big names like Lauren Chen, Tim Pool, Benny Johnson, Dave Rubin. And they pretended very, very aggressively. Again, it was all false, but they didn't care for the truth. The mainstream media tried to push it as if all of these conservative influencers were being told what to say by the Kremlin. But of course, that wasn't the case. Now, there were two individuals who were criminally charged. And again, we're going to stay away from that because I want to focus on what actually happened here, because we weren't allowed to really kind of cover it from the angle of Lauren Chen. Lauren Chen and her husband started Tenet Media, and they found themselves quickly being targeted by the Biden regime. Now, the tactics that were used were very unethical, and it resulted in zero criminal charges for Lauren and her husband. Now, many decided to go out there and bash Lauren rather than wait for her to share her part of all of this. And I know it wasn't a popular take on social media, but some of us found ourselves going out there and saying, hold on a second, it's an election year, they're using the Russians, these are all the common tactics that they've done in the past. But sadly, so many decided not to do just that. So we're now at a point where Lauren is actually able to speak out on what took place in all of that. And Lauren Chen joins us now. She is an incredible political commentator, and it is an honor to have her on this show because, Lauren, I've been a big fan of your work for a very long time right now. It is a great time to have you on to kind of sift through all the nonsense that was going on behind the scenes. I sat back and saw that the talking points, anytime in an election year they use the Russians as an excuse, it throws up all the red flags. I told everyone to wait because we don't know what actually happened here. And now it's resulted in no criminal charges for both you and your husband. So I just kind of want to give you the floor and let you explain what happened from your perspective.
Sure. Well, like you said, I think the main takeaway from this story is that not only are there currently no criminal charges against me, my husband, or our company, but there actually never were. Mm-hmm. And so we see time and time again how the Biden DOJ, they were very happy to trump up charges out of thin air whenever they thought that they could get a headline. I think it's important to note that even though they really put us through the ringer, they sent 30 armed agents to raid our home. They nearly broke down the door. If we had been a little slower in answering the door, they certainly would have. Despite everything they did to us extrajudicially, that is smear us in the media, they seized our assets and claimed that it's now forfeited. We can't get our bank accounts back. But they never actually charged us with anything, which I think, unfortunately, is part of the story that the mainstream media and, unfortunately, even a lot of people on the conservative side, they didn't really seem to talk about. Like you said, the investigation is now closed. That's something else that a lot of the media outlets that did hit pieces on us originally, they never really stopped to report that update. I think they were more happy to just kind of let the story out there as if, hey, maybe this ended up with them being found guilty of being spies or something like that, which of course is not the case. But, you know, Tenet was a company that was really focused on giving creators whatever editorial freedom they needed. And I can confidently say that after almost a decade now of working in independent media, we were the most liberal with allowing our content creators to speak to whatever issues they wanted in whatever way they wanted. You know, we were never the type to say, hey, you must say this, you must say this, we need you on this story. And it was really shocking to see how many people, not only in the liberal media, but again, also some even on the conservative side, were happy to buy the idea that the free speech of Americans was in some way propaganda from the Kremlin. And it's been disappointing overall to see how even a lot of people who you would think would understand that the DOJ was weaponized under Biden, they very, very quickly fell to the same lies that we see time and time again.
Yeah. And Lauren, it was really frustrating to sit back and watch because I got into it a little bit with one attorney who was going after you guys over what was in the claim. But again, there was no criminal charges filed. And to be a lawyer, it was so frustrating to see because this is an attorney who should know better, who should know that you're innocent until proven guilty. And although the DOJ is just making claims in documents, in court documents, it doesn't mean that that's actually the way. And also to keep in mind is we saw hundreds of Americans get swept up into the political persecutions of January 6th and all the pro-lifers who were arrested and thrown in prison for peacefully protesting outside of abortion clinics. So we knew what they were capable of. And so we should have all saw this one coming. But, you know, the push the mainstream media was trying to say, where people like Tim Pool, Benny Johnson, and Dave Rubin were all getting talking points and were being told how to kind of form the content that they were pushing out there. At any point, were you reaching out to any of those three individuals and telling them what kind of content to post?
Absolutely not. And I think they've backed that up. Mm-hmm. What's kind of funny is that Tenet actually mostly licensed content. So people like Tim Pool, people like Benny Johnson, Dave Rubin, they had their own teams of editors, producers. They controlled their content completely. We didn't even see most of the content until it was going live on our platforms, published by them, by their own team. Tenet was the work, the content was the work of Americans. I mean, and we also had Lauren Southern, who was Canadian, but at no point was anyone given talking points. Hey, you have to say this. And what I'm shocked more people don't understand is that an indictment is not evidence. If that were true, then there would be no such thing as innocent until proven guilty. But also that the way that this case was structured, you know, the two individuals who were charged, they were not our employees. They worked in conjunction with our company, but we didn't pay them or anything like that. They weren't hired by us. The DOJ under Biden, they never actually expected to catch these individuals. The indictment that was written was more than a press release than an actual indictment. It was 30 some pages, mostly not even related to them at all, just trying to smear our company. And I think the DOJ knew that this was never an issue that was actually going to be brought to court. So they knew they wouldn't actually have to prove anything that was in the indictment. So they really took the opportunity to get creative, is what I will say. And it's been interesting to see Bondi and the new team under Trump that they've come in. They've really tried to address the weaponization that happened under Biden, the task force specifically that was dedicated to snooping out foreign influences, including in places like the media that's actually been disbanded. Bondi has also clarified that going forward, things like FARA, it's going to be actually used to look at things that more closely fit the traditional definition of actual espionage and trying to, I guess, influence the government in that such a way, not all these nefarious allegations that the Biden DOJ has put out, including by criminally indicting several of Trump's allies and associates.
Yeah. Yeah. Lauren, we saw all this play out. It was kind of crazy that others didn't catch on to realize this is one of the many layers of lawfare that was being utilized under that administration. And so it is a little frustrating. Your critics are probably going to try to allude to the fact that your political takes might be influenced by foreign groups and foreign governments. Have you ever had a political take that wasn't organically inspired by your true thoughts? Or have you ever had to do a take or were forced to do a take that was foreign influenced?
Absolutely not. And what's interesting is that, again, there's a lot of things in that indictment that are either inaccurate, misleading, yeah, or just claim untrue. But even the DOJ has not alleged that my takes were influenced by a foreign government. And I can confidently say that I'm currently the most investigated influencer out there in terms of, are my takes actually mine? Yeah. The answer is 100%, of course. I've never had a foreign government tell me what to say. I will point out, I have had some conservative companies, American companies that I have worked with attempt to steer my talking points. I've always refused that, which is why I think they're, I'll say this honestly now. That's why I think some of the people who went after me from the conservative side so viciously said what they said. It's because previously I have, I've made it known that I'm not willing to go along with certain narratives just because it's what's popular with the establishment. I've always been very critical of foreign wars and, I guess, you know, American military interventionism abroad that I feel is a waste of American blood and treasure. I think doing so in the past put a target on me from people who would otherwise maybe be my allies on the conservative side. But the idea that my talking points or any conservative influencer associated with Tenet, that we were told what to say, that's not true. And that's not even something that really, if you look at the indictment, is being alleged. One of the examples that they highlight as a proof of Russian interference is the fact that we shared a Tucker Carlson clip where he went to Russia and went to a grocery store. That was the damning proof that we were being fed Kremlin talking points, is because we shared a relevant and trending video by an American content creator. It's absolutely absurd on its face.
Yeah, no, it is. And that's why I think it's so important to outline it, because I, you know, previously when this all going down, and unfortunately you didn't have the platform or you weren't really able to go out there and defend yourself, because obviously it was a pending investigation. So we're excited to hear your perspective in all of this. But I also want to hear your perspective in regards to how badly they targeted you. As you alluded to in the beginning of all of this, 30 armed agents showed up at your home. You obviously are a young mother and you have a young family, and so that's deeply concerning in itself. But from my understanding, they seized your finances, your money's been seized, and you still don't have access to your funds, even though you haven't been criminally charged and they're not going to charge you. What's the background on all of that? Because that is extremely concerning.
Sure. Well, like I mentioned, this was a very aggressive raid on our house. And I've heard from lawyers, attorneys, including our own, who said that, you know, with the scope and content of this investigation, they could have easily just subpoenaed you or, you know, to search your devices. That would have been much more proportionate. Instead, they chose the shock and awe route. Not only did they send all these armed agents to us and make a very big show of force, but I was also going to my fourth month of pregnancy when this all started, which at the time wasn't even public information. Obviously, the FBI knew this because they had been watching us, listening to us for months at that point. But, you know, they showed up. They spent the next several hours tearing apart our home, searching it, seizing all of our electronic devices. And we would later find out that our bank accounts had been frozen. And now, you know, during the course of this investigation, obviously we weren't able to really comment on what was happening. But once we did find out in April that it had been closed with no charges to us, and actually Tim Pool, one of the other creators who whose content was licensed by Tenet, he heard from the DOJ that the investigation had been closed back in December. They were not forthcoming about that with us. I think they really wanted to cause us as much harm as possible, keeping us in that sort of limbo phase where we're not sure what's going on legally. After that, though, we did inquire what's happening. You know, we got our electronics back. That's great. They did drop our computers. We've had to replace quite a bit of equipment because it was just treated so harshly by them. But we inquired about what about our bank accounts, and we were very unceremoniously informed that that money had been forfeited. Now, according to our lawyer, if they are going to seize money and claim that it is forfeited, what the proper protocol is supposed to be is they're supposed to notify you in writing, and then you have a certain, I think it's 30 days to appeal that decision. We were never given actual written notice of this. We only found out that they were not intending on returning our bank accounts when, you know, when we actually asked them what's happening with that months and months later. And so we are in the unfortunate position now where we would actually have to take them to court if we want to try to get back our money, because it's our word against theirs about whether they informed us. But of course, you know, as you're well aware, that's more legal fees. And frankly, our lawyer has been very transparent. He has told us, it's not like you guys had millions. I mean, despite, and that's another part of the dishonest reporting, many media outlets were trying, it seemed, to paint it as if we were being given millions of dollars. No, our company, our entire company, all of the content, all of the employees, all of the contractors, the figure in the millions that's being reported, that was our operating budget. It was not payment for myself and my husband personally. You know, we are not and have never been millionaires. My lawyer has informed us that due to the fact that this isn't millions of dollars that we're talking about, it's not $1 million. I believe the most that they can claim with this forfeiture is, I believe, $500,000. So we're under that. He has told us point blank that it may not be worth it, frankly, in legal fees to try and take them to court, because you may end up paying more for lawyers and, you know, court time than you would actually get money back. And that's if you got money back at all. So we are in a very unfortunate position there, and that's why we are hoping that people within the DOJ can still correct this internally. There are people who you know, were part of Trump's team brought in, who understand the witch hunt that this was, but unfortunately there are still, you know, influences within the DOJ, specifically the SDNY, who want to make sure that we are harmed as much as possible from this whole fiasco, including by keeping our the contents of our bank accounts.
Yeah, well, I mean, the fact that our government was able to do that is, I mean, it sounds like complete overreach, and the fact that they cannot just give you those funds back after no wrongdoing has been found on your part, it's very concerning, Lauren. Honestly, this is deeply concerning. I know for our audience too, because we talk about government overreach all the time, but this is a whole nother level. So, Lauren, I mean, for our audience at home right now, if you're looking to how you could help out Lauren, they've set up a GiveSendGo page to help with those legal fiends. Just give it a look. GiveSendGo.com/Lauren Chen. That's where you go to help them fight this, because Lauren, you should be able to get that money back. That's your money. And the fact that they've confiscated it without a valid explanation for that is really, really concerning. But, you know, Lauren, you weren't just coming on today to do this. We also wanted to pivot and talk about current events, because that's what you're stepping back into, to give us your great commentary. And we look forward to that. But I wanted to talk with you a little bit about Don Lemon, because, you know, it's so frustrating in regards to Don and what he did on Sunday, where he thought he could just walk up into a church with a group of protesters and interrupt service and intimidate those who were there that day to worship. But he is now going out there and now insulting those people on top of everything else. And in clip 21, he refers to them as white supremacists. Take a listen.
And there's a certain degree of entitlement. I think people who are, you know, in the religious groups like that, it's not the type of Christianity that I practice, but I think that they're entitled, and that entitlement comes from a supremacy, a white supremacy. And they think that this country was built for them, that it is a Christian country, when actually we left England because we wanted religious freedom. It's religious freedom, but only if you're a Christian and only if you're a white male, pretty much. And so, yeah, I absolutely 100%, but it's an intimidation tactic. And, you know, I said, I don't understand how I've become the face of it when I was a journalist. I do understand that I'm the biggest name there. And I'm also, as I was on with my producers this morning, you know, you and Kylie talk all the time. My producers were saying, I said, how did I become the face of this? And my producer said, Don, you're a gay black man in America.
He's a gay black man in America. Lauren, I, you know, I'm laughing, but it's sadly, it's at the expense of these people who wanted to go on Sunday church and worship, and they were interrupted by these individuals. But now he's inserting the victim card in all of this, because he's finding out that he actually might be criminally charged. Your reaction to what we've seen unravel over these last 48 hours of Don Lemon?
Well, I think if the career in journalism doesn't work out, Don Lemon certainly has a future in gymnastics, because that whole backflip and reach in order to reach the conclusion that he is the victim here, really quite impressive. But no, it's not journalism to be part of this mob that is breaking into a church and then actually on camera confirm that, yes, the point of why we are doing this is specifically to make these people uncomfortable. Don Lemon said that, and I think I want to make it very clear that there were journalists who were present on January 6th who were there reporting Elijah Shaver for The Blaze is one of those individuals. Don Lemon, with this defense of, oh, I was just a journalist reporting, and I was nowhere to be seen for the likes of Elijah Shaver. So I think there's definitely a double standard there, and I think the idea that anybody would think to protest ICE by going to a church and disrupting the service and specifically, admittedly, trying to intimidate the churchgoers there is, it really is disgusting. So we now have the update from, of course, the DOJ that they are, I believe, going to be pursuing charges, if they haven't already, against the likes of Don Lemon and perhaps other people who were there under the statute that they initially instituted for the KKK that says you are not allowed to intimidate people who are exercising their constitutionally protected rights, including freedom to religion. And I think that is absolutely what needs to happen. I hope that, you know, this level of proactiveness continues from the Trump team and over at the DOJ, because we can't forget when it came to things like January 6th or even parents going to PTA meetings or pro-life people praying outside of abortion clinics, the Biden administration was absolutely vicious in these different types of prosecutions. And I think that unless conservatives, people on the right wing, unless we show that we will protect our own, then the issue of weaponization of the legal system is just going to get worse. And to be clear, I don't believe in making up charges or trying to create crimes where they don't exist just to get back our enemies. That's not what we are talking about here. I genuinely think that this is unacceptable behavior that does violate these people's First Amendment right to worship when they were just trying to go to church.
Yeah, no, I think you're spot on with that. And it's so frustrating to see. Again, I would never want anyone to get cooked up charges that are, you know, falsely being pushed. But the reality of it is what happened there that day needs to be stopped. It needs to be blocked from happening again, because this will happen again if they get away with it. And we hope the DOJ is serious about the investigation that they announced they've just recently launched. So we'll keep watching that. Lauren, before you go, though, I want to play clip 20 for you as well, because you know, we sit back and we watch as ICE is trying to literally get the worst of the worst off the streets. I mean, I get the updates constantly. It's rapists, it's murderers, it's child predators. It's all of the most horrific human beings that they're trying to wrap up and get out of here. But in clip 20, we're going to hear another Democrat, Dan Goldman, go out there and refer to these people as Nazis yet again. Take a listen.
The reality is Donald Trump is president for the next 3 years. And we cannot allow this at ICE agency to continue doing what it is doing. And so we actually have a lot more pressing concerns than to figure out exactly how we're going to reconstitute our immigration enforcement, because what needs to stop is what you're seeing there in Minneapolis. And what needs to stop is agents, literally masked agents, stopping people on the street and demanding their papers. That was what Nazi Germany did. That is so authoritarian and un-American. And it's just the tip of the iceberg, because, of course, we know about all the violence.
Lauren, we got about 2 minutes left, but I want to highlight the fact that they continue to use that rhetoric when describing ICE agents as well as their political opposition. And then we saw, obviously, that horrific assassination against Charlie Kirk take place. And they don't seem to be toning down the rhetoric. They seem to be amping it up. What's your take on all of this?
Well, I just want to say that this type of rhetoric is absolutely why Charlie Kirk was assassinated. It's absolutely why Renee Good thought she was justified in trying to run over an ICE agent, is because these leftists, they genuinely believe, because they have been coached and trained to do so by the media, by all these NGOs, they genuinely believe that they are going up against the likes of the SS. Which is absolutely just so poisonous. I mean, we've just gone over all of the trouble that I've had with law enforcement that was weaponized by the Biden administration. You don't hear me having this type of rhetoric. You know, you didn't see me trying to fight the officers that were present at our search, because I know that they probably have no idea what's going on. They're following orders, and we have to trust in the legal system and due process. And, you know, it's just, it's not anyone's place to try to subvert the law by actively impeding law enforcement from doing their jobs. And it's just, it's also really interesting that these same people who, you know, 4 or 5 years ago were very happily cheering on vaccine passports and barring people from public life from things like restaurants, all of a sudden they care about freedom and liberty and, oh, how dare you ask for our papers. And I think this also really illustrates everything that's happening in Minnesota right now, that the left is just open borders. I mean, they claim that they're not, but there has not been one single act of immigration law enforcement that they have supported. They don't want a wall, which is a passive tool to stop people from coming over illegally. You know, they don't want people to be investigated through things like E-Verify. They want illegals to be able to work under the table. They don't want people to be kicked off SNAP if they're here illegally. There's not one single act of immigration enforcement that you will find the left by and large supporting, which kind of, I mean, it shows to me where their priorities really are. They just want to let really the worst of the worst in. And again, like you said, these are child predators, murderers, drug traffickers that ICE is by and large going after. And yet still we see these people standing up for them in a way that I hate to say it, but they would never stand up for their fellow Americans, white collar working Americans who are blue collar working Americans who are being displaced by these illegal immigrants in their jobs. And it's very, very harrowing, frankly, seeing all of this.
Yeah, Lauren, it is. It is. Lauren, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's a pleasure to catch up with you. We look forward to having you back on the show. Of course, Lauren Chen, honor to have you on the show today. Folks, give her a follow on X if you're not doing so already. We'll be right back with more.
I reckon a lot of you know I've been on the air for a long time, and we've done quite a few things here, and I've had a lot of different ways that I tried to continue on our mission. So I want to tell you about a Beggin' right here. This is a limited edition knife. We just came out with it a couple days ago, and well, some people call it a sling blade. I call it a Kaiser blade, but you need something to take care of yourself or your family and protect you. I think this will do it. It's an important remake, updated World War II trench knife, double-edged stainless steel, razor sharp. Life is fiery with its beauty. It's got a nice little pin-up girl there right there on it. So I reckon this is just about as good as you're going to get is some fried taters and biscuits and mustard. So if you want to get one of these before they sell out with the murdered out brass knuckles and skull crusher, then I reckon you better get on over to thealexjonesstore.com while the getting's good. And I appreciate you keeping us on the air in our mission. I call it a Kaiser Blade. And it's a limited edition right now. But all I know is the globalists shouldn't have done what they did to that boy, what Epstein did. So all I can say is they're going to have the Lord to deal with. But, limited edition, almost sold out. I just know you want this knife. It's selling out quick. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for your support.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Getting ready to kick up the third hour of the program. We've got an exclusive story coming your way in just a little bit. I'd say about 30 minutes. We'll break it down for you about a potential bioagent either being stolen or maybe it's a leak. We can't tell you exactly which one it is, of course, because, well, they weren't very specific in the documents we got our hands on. But the good folks over at White Coat Waste have been doing a lot of FOIAs. They've been doing a lot of digging. And we'll have the senior vice president, Justin Goodman, on the program today to break down what he's learning. But, folks, this is a big one because this is in Montana. And it also highlights the fact that we're doing all these, like, experimental, very similar to the Wuhan labs that were popping up, obviously, in China. But we're doing the same exact thing here on the mainland. And although we have a new administration here, which we were told was going to pull the funding back on all of this, it doesn't seem to be the case. Justin Goodman's been all over it. He'll join us in about 30 minutes to break down that exclusive report that you're not going to see anywhere else. So we look forward to that. But folks, I want to remind you all, and you already know, but I'm just going to keep saying it. Don Lemon is an absolute idiot. And so Don's realizing that he's in a lot of you know what. And so he'll be trying to backpedal a little bit because he's really concerned that he actually might get arrested. Now, he's not a journalist. I want to be very clear here. He is not a journalist, and this clip is going to prove just that. In clip 18, Don Lemon is catching himself in a lie. He did his very best to work with a group, a far left-wing terrorist group, allegedly, of course, that did their best to go out there and intimidate those who were trying to attend Sunday service. Don Lemon doesn't call it a protest. He calls it an operation, and he embedded himself in that operation. Now he's trying to backpedal a little bit because he's a little scared. Take a listen to clip 18.
MAGA administration and the fake news MAGAs are losing their mind over something that's not even true. I had no affiliation to that organization. I didn't even know they were going to this church until we followed them there. We were there chronicling protests. Once the protest started in the church, we did an act of journalism.
They're getting the operation together. Again, this is an operation that is a secret that they invited folks out. Can't tell you what is going to happen, but you're going to watch it live unfold here on the Don Lemon Show. There are this, for this reason, looks, the for this reason, it may look like MAGA coded, but there's a reason they have so many white people here. I'm just going to be honest. It's because of the operation that they're doing today. It's important to have allies, as they said, white allies here.
What an absolute tool. It's really important to have white allies here. White allies. Yeah, folks, you're just as good as your skin color, apparently, according to Don Lemon. Interesting enough, too, folks, again, I told you, he says operation, not protest. So don't you dare try to claim the First Amendment as if you were peacefully protesting inside of a private property, inside of a church. He doesn't want to talk about that. He wants to now reshift your attention, hoping that you don't see that clip. That's Don Lemon's new form of journalism. In fact, the guy was so horrific on CNN that even the cushy millions of dollars they were pushing his way, the very elaborate, extensive staff who had to prop him up every night for his mediocre show, mediocre at best, it was obviously a failed show. That didn't really pull in an audience. That's why he got canned. But Don Lemon is an absolute failure. I'm going to keep highlighting just that because I've got more to discuss in a moment. But I just want to keep drilling this point home. Don Lemon needs to be charged. You got to set these rules up. He now wants to claim protest, but buddy, you called him an operation.
And then when all of these J6ers, when all of these pro-lifers were being rounded up by the Biden regime, he was on board. In fact, we know that because, well, I've got a clip for that. There's a clip for everything. There's a clip for everything. I'll play it in just a few moments. Don Lemon hoping that he does not have to deal with the ramifications of his own behavior. All right, folks, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now because we have amazing deals going on right now on the site. There's different discounts all across the platform. That's why you got to look. T-shirts are 25% off, hats are 20% off, hoodies are also 25% off as well. And some of your favorite supplements are also on discount, up to 45% off. Atomic Defense, Ultimate Burn, Sea Moss capsules and gummies. You just got to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com to see how deep these discounts go. So stop what you're doing right now and head on over to the shop. And when you go over there to make a purchase over at the alexjonesstore.com, you're helping keep us up and running, and we greatly appreciate you for doing that.
I'm an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and father and a guy that loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night. To quote Waylon Jennings.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. Got a lot going on over here. We're excited that you're jumping on with us in the third hour of the program. We have an exclusive coming your way in about 25 minutes. We'll bring that to you with Justin Goodman over at the White Coat Waste Project. He's just been alerted, and he alerted us about this exclusive story, specifically in Montana. There's a bio agent that is either missing or... We don't know. The language is either leaked, stolen, possible theft. But this is obviously a very important story that Justin Goodman and the great folks over at White Coat Waste have been following. And he'll be joining us to break that exclusively in just a few moments. But, you know, since we're on the topic and I keep talking about it, about Don Lemon, I never want to miss an opportunity to swing at Lemon. He is an absolute troll, not a journalist, but a troll. And we've learned that over the last few years. He had a show on CNN, and it was very unwatchable. But when he did cover things, he decided to use it as an opportunity to go after those who just simply wanted medical freedom. I'm talking about the COVID jabs. Okay, he sat there and spewed about it almost every night, promoting it and pushing it. Well, what's the result? We believe thousands dead, a lot of individuals who are now getting turbo cancer, and a lot of women who are dealing, and men too, with fertility issues. Now, again, we were called a bunch of conspiracy theorists for even just alluding to that. They did their very best to shut down people who wanted medical freedom. In fact, if you dare speak up against the regime, well, they went after you. They made sure you lost your job. I'm a result of that. But you don't back down. You never act like a coward when they come your way and they're trying to fight you on this issue. Don Lemon didn't understand it. Obviously, this is way above his head because he's not a very intelligent person. And that includes Chris Cuomo, who's doing his very best to rewrite history because now he sees what we all saw back when this pandemic suddenly sprung about. In clip three, you're going to hear how dumb both of these men are and just some insight as to the low IQ discussion that was going on at CNN over, during this pandemic. Take a listen.
And so I think we have to stop coddling people when it comes to this and the vaccine, saying, oh, you can't shame them. You can't call them stupid. You can't call them silly. Yes, they are. The people who aided and abetted Trump are stupid because they believed his big lie. The people who are not getting vaccines, who are believing the lies on the internet instead of science, it's time to start shaming them. What else? Or leave them behind. Because they are keeping the majority of Americans behind. You didn't feel that way about the polio vaccine. You don't feel that way about measles, mumps, rubella when it comes to your children. And all of a sudden, this vaccine is different. What's different about it? The only different thing about it is because of your politics today. The people talk about, well, I don't know what's in the shot, Chris. I don't know what's in that shot.
I'll tell you what's not in it. Hold on. A tracking device.
Let me finish this. You know what's, you know what they get shots in nowadays? In their rear ends. They're getting shots to make it bigger. They're getting shots in their face. They don't know what's in Botox. They don't know what's in, this stuff. Nothing wrong with Botox.
People don't know what they eat.
Look,
what they drink,
I tried it
what
once.
Smoke.
My eyebrow went up. I don't have it now. As you can see, I got all these wrinkles. Everybody asked me when I'm going to get, you need Botox. But listen, nothing wrong with Botox.
Clearly.
But I'm saying, do people really know what's in stuff that they inject in their bodies all the time? And they're
what
like,
they
oh,
eat,
what
they drink?
They eat, what they drink. All the stop it. Stop it with the ignorance. And we have to stop saying, oh, well, you know, you have to listen to people and, no, you don't. These people are being harmful to the greater good. You don't have to listen to a minority of people who are being harmful to the greater good and who are not acting on logic, reason, and science. I had an issue, I told you, Chris, when my family was here and they were saying, well, I don't know, I just don't know. I said, you know how you got here to visit me in New York? You took an airplane. What is that? Science. Right? You know why people live to be older than 40, 50, 60 years old these days? Science. Medicine. No one questions that. You know why people, what is so contradictory about it? When people get sick, they go into the hospital and they say, throw it all, give it to me, inject it, put it in me. And you're gonna pay a whole lot of money. And you're gonna tax the medical system when you could have gotten it for free and you wouldn't be in that position in the first place.
You're
gonna
question the vaccine, but you wanna take a horse dewormer.
You peasants, you wanna take a horse dewormer? Ha ha. This is why these people are desperately trying to reclaw their way back into the mainstream media or to get any type of attention because, well, they were the faces of absolute stupidity. And it's laughable to hear Don Lemon talk about taking a shot in the behind, given everything we know about him. The fact that Chris Cuomo, by the way, just to highlight that, is trying to rewrite history. In fact, I've heard him say repeatedly that he never gave pushback on ivermectin being used. Highlights the fact that he thinks you're just as stupid as he is. You know, Don Lemon is sitting here trying his very best to take a shot at the American people who simply just wanted medical freedom. They wanted an opportunity to decide for themselves whether or not they wanted to participate in a massive experiment. And because of that, well, he wanted you all canceled. Gone. Done. So now it's Don Lemon's time. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with Don Lemon being canceled. His show is so unbearable. Whatever he's doing these days is so unpopular that he has to do all these outrageous things, like embed himself in an operation that goes down to shut down Sunday service. Oh, by the way, he's claiming to be a Christian. Let's just highlight that for a second. In his defense, as he continues to outline, he claims that he's a Christian and everything is okay because he's a Christian. He's not a Christian. He's a homosexual. Let's just drive that point home. A lot of times you'll hear people sit there and say and justify their behavior as if they are a Christian, but you're not a Christian, Don Lemon. You're not living a Christian lifestyle, but he doesn't want to talk about that. He wants you just to focus on the fact that they just shut down Sunday service because they have a disagreement with how ICE does its job, which is following the law. But he's out here spewing lies, telling people, oh no, ICE is just going out there knocking in doors without a warrant, asking people for proof of citizenship. He doesn't have any proof of that, but tells you it's a fact and you have to just go with it. Trust the science, this guy said to us. He's an absolute troll and doesn't deserve any space in this movement. That's why so many people have canceled him. That's why when you look at his numbers on X, there's no one following him physically. Yes, the numbers are there, but when you look at the numbers, when you look at the breakdown, he's barely getting by. I know people with like 50,000 followers on X who are receiving more when it comes to people following them, people liking their content, watching their content at Don Lemon. That's why he has to do outrageous things to get people's attention. It's also interesting to note, too, that he, like I said earlier in the show, is getting ready to possibly be criminally charged here. Like we had Joseph McBride on earlier. That needs to happen. That needs to happen. We can't sit here and pretend like it didn't happen. We can't sit here and pretend like he's innocent. Todd Blanche yesterday, who is the AG, the deputy AG, I should say, in clip 4, outlined what the investigation currently looks like right now over at the DOJ. Take a listen.
It's a crime. And so they will face a jury. If they're convicted, they will go to prison. And you're right. The FACE Act has been abused by administrations over the years. You're absolutely right. But when you look at what happened yesterday, you know why that law was passed, and we're going to use it for the reasons that it was meant to be used for, which is to stop this type of conduct. And again, this should not, every single American should be enraged and heartbroken at what happened yesterday in that church. People going to worship, and they are stormed by anti-law enforcement, anti-Christian rioters, and the response that you get from city leaders. Today, the governor just throws his hands up and says, oh, I've always said you should peacefully protest. That is just completely made up. You can listen to what that man has been saying for the past 3 weeks. He has not been encouraging people to peacefully protest. He's been encouraging people to do exactly what they did, and what happened yesterday is a consequence of the governor's words, period.
Exactly, folks. And they don't want to take any blame of this. They are trying their best to shift blame and pretend like they are not the ones doing all of it, but they are. But they are. You know, the president just put out a post too right now saying that DHS and ICE must start talking about the murderers and the other criminals that they're capturing. That post literally just coming out about a minute ago. There are thousands of vicious animals in Minnesota. Nationwide too, he also highlights the fact that criminally, I mean, we've never been better off. Crime stats, murder rates are low right now, historically low. And he also wants us to highlight the fact that there are paid troublemakers, as many of you guys know. They call themselves protesters, but you and I both know they are not actual protesters. They're lying to the American people, and we all know just that very well at this point in the game. But interesting enough, again, they are trying their very best to go out there and push this narrative. It was interesting. I saw this WAPO article, this tweet that went up, and it alleges that an FBI agent conducted an internal review about the Renee Good shooting. You know, the woman who decided to use her vehicle as a weapon, a 4,000-pound vehicle, and thought she was going to get away with it after causing a ICE agent to experience internal bleeding. Because why? Well, not because cars drive themselves. No, this car didn't do it. Renee Good drove her car into an ICE agent when they were instructing her to stop, to get out of the car. But instead, she decided, his life doesn't matter, and used her vehicle as a weapon. Now, as a result of that, she ended up with 4 gunshot wounds. Some would argue those are self-inflicted when you are the one who is actually provoking law enforcement to do just that. But they don't want any blame. This WAPO article is claiming that there's a ground to open a civil rights probe into the actions that were taken by that ICE officer who shot her. Although the Department of Justice currently says that no investigation is warranted. So they're trying to say this is an FBI agent who they've spoken to who is pushing this. The FBI came out and said, no, that's false. Shut up, WAPO, in a follow-up tweet to them. All right, they didn't say shut up. They just said it was false. And again, they're also highlighting the fact that the decision is not made by the FBI. That would be a DOJ decision, which is common sense if you understand how law works in this country. Unfortunately for the Washington Post, they don't know how things seem to work. But folks, this is a ongoing issue that's never ending. And I want to also highlight the fact that it takes forever for us to get these illegal aliens out of our country, right? ICE is out there. And again, I get these emails all the time and I share some of them with you, not all of them because it could be a lot, but they are getting murderers, rapists and child predators off the street. Again, yesterday I posted just 4, but the list was significantly long of the thousands of individuals they've recently captured in Minnesota. Again, Democrats don't want you knowing about this, but I mean, these are the worst of the worst. These were men who actually did horrifying crimes against children. I mean, even one convicted of murder, there was a Somalian who they also just caught. Convicted of murder. Democrats want them on the street, though. Because their rights matter, not yours. Remember this clip? We're going to play clip six for you. This one is of a gang member who doesn't belong in this country but was here in the first place, and he has 17 prior convictions. Take a listen.
I'm not going back to Haiti.
One of those threats is this illegal alien from Haiti. ICE says he's a gang member with 17 criminal convictions in recent years.
Trump, you feel me? Yo, Biden forever, bro. Thank Obama for everything that he did for me, bro.
Biden forever. Well, that guy, just so you guys know, again, 17 prior convictions. He obviously went viral for saying just that. But it's been about a year. He was arrested, and he's currently still being detained by ICE.
I mean, that's how long this process drags on for. This is why Democrats say, oh, illegals are due, they get due process. Because that guy who was arrested, it will be officially 1 year in about 2 days, is still sitting pretty in an ICE facility in Louisiana, awaiting his many court appearances, according to Bill Mnuchin of Fox News, who's doing an incredible job of covering all of this, I must say. But again, this is the type of stuff that we need to put out there. We need to keep pushing. We need to keep pushing. Democrats are ramping up their efforts, though, and it's really important to highlight that in clip 7, because in Maryland, for an example, they're looking to dox ICE agents, and they're doing this all across the country, but specifically there's now legislation that's being pushed through by Democrats in Maryland that look to do just that. Take a listen.
Legislation in the Maryland House that he says would digitally unmask ICE agents accused of misconduct. Under Moon's proposal, digital information that confirms an agent's identity would become obtainable in legal cases. These are things like license plate and GPS information, as well as cell phone and cell tower records.
Now, obviously, folks, that's something you don't want happening. Something you don't want happening. And I don't think they understand how this works, but the reality of it is ICE is federal, Maryland is a state, and you can't cross over. But they're hoping their donors are just as dumb as them, and so they're going to try their very best to make it seem like they're out there fighting every day. But they're fighting every day. I want to get to clip 8 for you guys, because this one's also another big one. Clip 8, and I keep highlighting the stories, and I'm not going to stop anytime soon, because if you have a daughter, your wife, your girlfriend, whoever it is, you need to know the risk you take when you take a ride-sharing app. And for far too long, these ride-sharing services have decided to withhold the crime stats. But folks, you need to know about this. Repeatedly recovering these stories about women and girls who were sexually assaulted while getting Uber rides, Lyft rides, rides home. And just recently in Houston, 4 Uber drivers have been federally charged with raping women that they were supposed to bring home, but they instead decided to pull over to the side of the road and rape these women. It's absolutely horrific when you listen to the details. Take a listen to clip 8.
Hi, Bill. Well, prosecutors say that these cases hit home for so many. We've all used rideshare services and trust the drivers with our safety and our families. Officials say that the drivers who are in the Houston area use similar tactics. After picking up women who were intoxicated, they would change their routes or not let the women get out of the car and then assault them. 4 drivers right here now federally charged in separate cases and face life in prison. According to court records, Barney Flores's DNA was linked to 2 other sexual assault investigations here in Texas and then in California. Court records describe Cesar Martel as a serial rapist. He faces federal kidnapping charges for 2 different victims in 2021 and 2023. 3 of the suspects have been arrested and are in custody, but the 4th right here, Abdu Mikbaki, is on the run and at large. The FBI believes that there are more victims out there.
Unfortunately, for about a half dozen Houston area women, their rideshare experiences resulted in some of the most traumatic, violent crimes being committed against them, kidnapping and sexual assault.
We want would-be abusers to know that the Department of Justice is watching. They should know that any such assault brings with it the prospect of federal time.
And we reached out to Uber, who shared this statement with us, quote, sexual assault and kidnapping are horrific crimes that have no place in our society or on the Uber platform. When we became aware of these allegations, we immediately banned the drivers involved and removed their access to the app. Now, several of the suspects already face state charges. When asked why they are now being federally charged, officials say that just given the gravity of these cases, and also they have advantage when it comes to resources and also sentencing, Bill.
Okay, Brooke, that's...
Yeah, so folks, that's stuff. Insane, obviously, 4 people arrested in all of this. This is something that happens, and I don't think people really get it. This happens on the regular with these ride-sharing apps. And again, you know, women, when you go out, you drink a little too much, you obviously are trying to be responsible by not driving, so you rely on these apps. You know, if you follow me on X, you know, I often will make jokes about me jumping in to self-driving cars instead of taking Ubers because of how unsafe it is with these drivers. And I mean, although I say it lightly, and I, you know, maybe jab at Muhammad from time to time. The reality of it is, yes, the threat is severe. And all women, all girls, you got to pay attention. Even guys, pay attention. When you get into an Uber, before you get in, check the license plate, make sure it matches with your app. So many times I've caught it twice. And that's not the case. That's not the case. And the reality of it is the apps is just, it's just massive. Uber's not going to catch a lot of these guys. They're not going to. So it's your responsibility to protect yourself. Now, again, they are, and it was called out in the lawsuit, hiding a lot of these numbers. They give you a certain portion of the data in regards to their drivers. But when you own a platform as massive as Uber or Lyft, you do have a bit of a challenge there. So make sure you remind everyone in your life that they've got to be cautious at all times. It's not just safe just to jump in an Uber and think you're getting home anytime soon. I mean, I remember when I was coming back one night, I jumped in an Uber, and this was in Texas, and the driver waited until about, this was 2 a.m., until he was about to drop me off, where he had to drop me off to make inappropriate comments. Now, again, this is something that happens on the regular. And if you're someone who's not able to stand up for yourself, or maybe you just drank a little too much and you knock out in the back of an Uber, you really got to be careful. You really got to be careful. All right, folks, let's switch up gears a little bit. Amy Meck has a new report that she just dropped, and I want to highlight this because, again, it's in Texas. And there's a lot going on in Texas, unfortunately. You know, we talk about it all the time, but Texans are coughing up the expense to allow a lot of these Islamists not only into our country, but most importantly, they're getting a lot of free things from our government, and they're also cashing out at our expense. But she wants to highlight this, and this is important. If you live in Texas, you got to pay attention, but CARE, which is the group that's now designated as a terrorist organization in Texas and Florida, apparently CARE is now getting ready to sponsor a Islamic Games at a Texas paid, obviously, high school in Grapevine. Folks, this is deeply alarming. They have this video up that she's put out there that I think is really important for folks to see, but they make it seem it's all innocent. It's not. It's not. It's not. And I keep seeing boys. I don't see any girls. Oh, there you go. Thank you. Thank you. We're getting worried over there. Folks, this isn't the stuff you want in your public schools. Again, our public schools are being paid for by taxpayers, and yet here they are shuffling this nonsense in through CARE. You know, schools throughout the DFW area have been taking a knee to Islam, literally serving halal and other things. It's unacceptable. This isn't what's supposed to happen, and enough is enough. This has no place in Texas, and that needs to be the message. You know, we've allowed them to capture the DFW area now with over 60 mosques that have officially gone up over these last few years. And Texans didn't do enough to fight back because a lot of them just didn't even know what was happening. Amy Meck is a great follow, though. She does go through a lot of this and has been talking about it for years now. But the reality of it is people are catching on. They're trying to get involved. But is it too late for Texas? And again, it's not just Texas. If you live in Oklahoma City, Florida, this is happening there as well. This is happening there as well. There was also a story, too. Let me just highlight this as quick as possible. A man, a 29-year-old Florida man, is how they describe in the mainstream media. He's not only a Florida man. Actually, his last name is Jihad. Okay? So just let that sit in the back of his middle name, I should say, is Jihad. So let that sit in the back of your mind a little bit. But he lives in Kissimmee, Florida, and he was just recently arrested for the murder of three men, Taurus. They were simply minding their own business when all of a sudden this guy allegedly came about and shot them, killed them, all three of them. Again, middle name is Jihad. But the mainstream media is telling you they don't know the motive. Police say, we don't know what the motive is, why he killed these three white men. Now, this isn't his first time, and that's probably the worst part about it. He apparently was acquitted because he wasn't mentally well, according to the jury. But he was acquitted previously on accusations that he actually shot other individuals as well, or one person actually at a gas station. So thanks for that. Now he's back on the streets and he just murdered three people because we have a group of cowards that are infiltrating our criminal justice system. Again, though, no motive there. Middle name Jihad, though, worth noting. All right, folks, buckle up. Justin Goodman is joining the show in just a moment. And he's got an exclusive you're not going to see anywhere else in regards to a potential, might be a leak, it might be a theft, in Montana. at a lab that should have been defunded, but unfortunately, not happening. Justin Goodman from Mike Hote Waste joins us to explain this exclusive report.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue. And the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it. And it has, like, a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on, like, my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's, like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But, like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to, like, the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones until I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not, like, predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, now you have a three-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it, like, happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where, like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish Sea Moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. No, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're getting ready to wrap up the third hour of the program with an exclusive story you're not going to see anywhere else. It has to do with a Fauci bio lab. Surprise, surprise. The details behind all of this are brought to you by the great folks at White Coat Waste Project, and it has to do with documents that they've recently obtained. Now, in those documents, it highlights that there's a massive public health concern going on. It has to do with a lab that is in Montana. It's the Rocky Mountain Laboratory. And according to the documents that White Coat Waste has obtained, there was an issue back in November of 2025. An RML report details how there was a theft, loss, or release of a biological agent classified as posing a severe threat to public health. Joining me to discuss the details behind all of this, the Senior Vice President for White Coat Waste Project, Mr. Justin Goodman, joins the show to break this exclusive story down. And, you know, Justin, I'm glad you put this on my radar because I know our audience is deeply concerned. They've followed these Fauci bio labs and what's been the result of all of them and how dangerous they truly are. So this is a big one. And you brought this forward to us. You've recently obtained these documents over at the White Coat Waste Project, which details specifically the threat that a bio agent, which apparently is classified as potentially posing a severe threat to public health, has been either stolen, which says theft, loss, or release. What are some of the details behind this concerning story?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Brianna. You know, since we first exposed Fauci's funding for the Wuhan lab and Beagle testing in early 2020, White Coat Waste has been following the money to Fauci and the NIH, and also trying to hold him accountable and erase his fingerprints from the federal government. Unfortunately, a lot of the programs that he set into motion during his 40 years at NIH are alive and well, and there are entrenched bureaucrats at the NIH, holdovers from the Fauci era, who are preventing more progress from happening under President Trump. Now, we recently, last week, exposed how Jay Bhattacharya, NIH director, just gave another $2 million to a new bat lab being built at Colorado State University to provide animals for infection studies, both at Colorado State and, as you mentioned, the Rocky Mountain Lab. Now, the Rocky Mountain Laboratory in Montana is run by Fauci's former NIH division, the National Institutes of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and it's very infamous. Rocky Mountain Lab is where ticks were weaponized with NIH and DOD to spread Lyme and other diseases back in the 50s and 60s. More recently, White Coat Waste exposed how a couple years prior to the pandemic, the Rocky Mountain Laboratory was cloning coronaviruses that Peter Daszak and the Wuhan lab were finding out in bat caves in Wuhan. They were cloning those viruses at Rocky Mountain Laboratory. And then these are the same viruses that the Wuhan lab was doing gain of function with and putting spike proteins in around the same time. So Rocky Mountain Lab, very sordid history, doing the most dangerous experiments in the country. Ebola, plague, anthrax, lots of different hemorrhagic fevers that have no cure and have 90 to 95% kill rates in people. So we've been following the money of the Rocky Mountain Lab because this new Colorado State Bat Lab is going to be supplying bats to this facility. Now, what we just uncovered is that in November 2025, so just a couple months ago, quietly the NIH posted a biosafety report from Rocky Mountain Lab indicating that a select agent, now select agents are very deadly pathogens that are serious health concerns for both humans and livestock. These are things that are used as bioweapons and can be used as bioweapons. Things like ricin, anthrax, Ebola, tularemia. And the Rocky Mountain Lab's report just has a very benign item, if you didn't know what you were looking for, that says in November, in the middle of November, one of these pathogens was either accidentally released, lost, or stolen from this NIH-funded bioagent lab that participates in dangerous animal experiments with the military. So we don't know exactly what that agent was and what happened, but we do know that there was a serious biosafety breach at one of the most dangerous bio labs in the country that's run by the NIH. And we only know about this because we stumbled upon this document when we were digging into what's currently happening at the Rocky Mountain Lab because of its tie to this very controversial bat lab project at Colorado State, which has gone viral, pun intended, over the last couple of weeks because, again, this is a Fauci-era project. The people behind this Colorado bat lab are the same people who brought us COVID, EcoHealth Alliance, Dr. Fauci, people at Colorado State and the NIH Rocky Mountain Lab who worked with the Wuhan lab directly. All these people are connected. And unfortunately, despite Fauci being gone, despite Joe Biden being out of office. A lot of these dangerous animal experimentation programs that brought us a pandemic and are bound to bring us another one if major changes don't happen are still at the wheel at NIH. And that's why we're very concerned. We're working with Joni Ernst, Paul Gosar, other members of Congress to defund the CSU Bat Lab. And we've even worked in the past to zero out the salaries of these animal experimenters at the Rocky Mountain Laboratory. Unfortunately, people who were gain-of-function proponents under Fauci and Biden are still at the helm at NIH. They've been promoted into leadership positions at the NIH, and they're actually refusing to enact the ban that President Trump and RFK promised us and are working on kind of watered-down policies that will allow dangerous gain-of-function experimentation to happen. And the people should be very concerned. These dangerous Fauci-era programs that pose serious public health threats, the same type of experimentation that caused a pandemic that killed 20 million people and cost trillions of dollars in economic damage. These people who think that's a good idea are still making decisions that place public health in peril. And we simply can't let it happen again. And that's why we've been saying we need to clean house at NIH. All of these holdovers need to go. Anyone who thought Fauci was a good guy does not deserve to be in government at this point.
Yeah, and that's the big problem here, because I know there's been a level of politicians, certain level of them, who have been advocating. I know Rand Paul, the senator, Rand Paul, has been pushing for Dr. Anthony Fauci to be criminally charged, and we're looking forward to hopefully something coming from that. But as you've alluded to, you've said specifically, actually, you talk about how we don't know what this actual agent is that was either stolen or potentially leaked. And that's extremely concerning. But when it comes to getting answers on all of this, I know you said you're getting some level of help over on the Capitol Hill side of all of this. Do you think we'll ever find out the truth as to what this could have possibly been? Because, you know, they still won't even talk to us about COVID and the origins there. They're still pretending like there's a big mystery to all of that. But, you know, we've learned a little bit, but it took a while to get that information trickling in. So do you think that we're going to be able to find out more on this soon?
Well, we're going to continue investigating through the Freedom of Information Act. You know, as you mentioned, for example, Senator Rand Paul has been stonewalled by federal agencies still about what they knew and when they knew it regarding the origins of COVID. So, we're 5 years, 6 years in here. We still don't know what really happened in Wuhan. And, of course, the federal government, the Trump administration, many agencies, even under Biden, they acknowledge that a lab leak likely caused the COVID pandemic. We can't let that happen again. And part of that is having transparency and accountability about how our tax dollars are being spent and what is going wrong in these laboratories. It shouldn't take watchdogs to just, you know, uncover these things. The government should be more proactive with sharing information about what public health threats do exist. The same thing happened at CSU where this bat lab is being built. In recent years, they have dozens and dozens of lab accidents. People being in the animal laboratories being infected with being exposed to Zika, COVID, other dangerous pathogens in doing these animal experimentation. And they're not publicly acknowledging those things that we're having to submit Freedom of Information Act requests. In some cases, sue federal agencies for documents about lab safety. This is a very serious public health threat. If we are working with, you know, we're importing dangerous viruses. I mean, it's a folly from the beginning. Taxpayer-funded animal experimenters who were either funded by or worked for the government are importing dangerous viruses from remote parts of the world, viruses that do not exist on U.S. soil, bringing them to laboratories, in some cases in the middle of major metropolitan areas, and then doing dangerous experiments on them to, in some cases, soup them up and make them more deadly to people. And we're footing the bill for this. These experiments have no public health relevance. This is essentially bioweapons research. The only reason you would bring viruses from remote parts of the world and conduct animal experiments on them is to study them as bioweapons. Otherwise, there's no reason you would subject the public health in the United States to the threat of these dangerous pathogens. I mean, again, we're talking about, in some cases here, anthrax, ricin, Ebola, tularemia, hemorrhagic fevers that have never been seen on U.S. soil that cause bleeding and quick death for people. Some of these things are incurable, and we're willingly bringing them here to the United States. And we're going to, you know, it's a matter of time. It's not an if, it's a when, in regards to when we're going to have an outbreak or cause another pandemic with dangerous animal experimentation. And that's why the Trump administration, I know the president, RFK, have promised to crack down. But there are lunatics inside the NIH who want to keep these dangerous programs going. And unfortunately, under Jay Bhattacharya's leadership, they have not been eliminated yet. And we really have been urging for a year now to clean house at the NIH, get rid of these mad scientists. There's, you know, the NIH is still filled with Trump-hating, Fauci-loving animal experimenters who want to keep these programs going, and it needs to stop or we're all going to pay the price.
Yeah, no, it does need to stop. And I wanted to get to the point that you were making earlier as well about Colorado, because, you know, you've gathered Senator Ernest, as you said, and we also have Paul Gosar as well, the congressman from Arizona, who have drafted and sent this letter over to the NIH director calling for that money to be pulled back because they don't want this to continue happening, this funding here. Give us some details as to that, because, again, this has to do with the bat facility that is in Colorado.
Yeah, and this is going to be the literal breeding ground for bats to supply all of these dangerous virus labs across the country. They're importing that problem here to the United States. And again, this is a bat lab that EcoHealth Alliance was trying to build for years with the help of the NIH. They couldn't get funding for it. Then COVID happened. Then Dr. Fauci used COVID as the excuse to finally greenlight the funding for this bat lab, and the NIH has given it $13 million in funding. The state of Colorado has given it another $5 million. So this is essentially a $20 million bat lab. If you live in Colorado, you're paying for it twice. And Paul Gosar and Joni Ernst have been working with us since we first exposed it to shut the funding off. So Congressman Gosar has submitted language to NIH appropriations bills to zero out these grants so they can't distribute any more money. And this recent letter that was sent last Monday by Senator Ernst, who's the Senate Doge Chair Caucus, chair of the Senate Doge Caucus, and Congressman Gosar, who's on the House Oversight Committee, asks Jay Bhattacharya, NIH director, to not disperse any more funding from these grants to the CSU bat laboratory. This is the literal brainchild of EcoHealth Alliance and Dr. Fauci, and it is simply unfathomable that under the Trump administration, the NIH director thinks it's a good idea to give this lab more money to get it up and running. And I just want to also add, in 2024, White Coat Waste was on a podcast with, prior to him being NIH director, Jay Bhattacharya, with local residents from Colorado discussing what a bad idea this bat lab was. And Jay Bhattacharya agreed. He said, he literally, his exact words were that there is no upside to a project like this. Fast forward just 1 year later, September 2025, under Jay, they gave another $2 million to this project to make sure it can get up and running and start breeding bats for these dangerous experiments.
Yeah.
It's an accident waiting to happen. This is a recipe for disaster right out of Dr. Fauci's cookbook. He funded it. He thought this was a good idea, which means it's probably not.
Yeah, probably not a good idea. And that's putting it nicely. But the reality of it that's so concerning, as you just detailed, the NIH director once understood, but it seems like he's still carrying through and allowing this all to continue, which is deeply concerning. Before I go, though, I wanted to ask you about this, because this is also concerning. You also write that there's potentially going to be Ebola bats that are being bred that they possibly be shipped around, and they're heading towards Montana. Do you know the specifics on that plan? Because I see we do have a little bit of a little clip here of this, but do you know any more details on this?
Yes. Yeah, so this is from a document we obtained through the Freedom of Information Act. This is an exact line from the CSU bat lab proposal that states that the bats they breed at this CSU lab are going to be sent to Rocky Mountain, where that accident just happened, for experiments with Ebola, Nipah, and other, you know, these hemorrhagic fevers that basically cause you to bleed out of your orifices and die. And some of these are incurable. So we have lots of details through FOIA about what those experiments are going to entail. And that's why we want to stop this project before it starts. Another component of this proposal originally was to import bats from Asia to then breed here in the United States. It's unclear whether that part of the project is still going to happen, because EcoHealth Alliance was going to be responsible for the importation of these Asian bats. they were blacklisted from federal funding at the beginning of last year. So they've been cut out of this project now. But the people, the guy running this project is a collaborator of the Wuhan laboratory. We have records showing that he and Batwoman, the person who ran the Bat Lab at the Wuhan Institute, were coordinating a collaboration in the early days before the pandemic, literally talking about having an association between the two laboratories for coronavirus experiments on bats. So even though EcoHealth's out of the picture at the moment, at least officially, as far as we know, CSU still, the plan is still moving forward for the bat breeding colony. The question is whether they're going to be importing bats from Asia to do that, or they're going to be using the bats who are already at another CSU facility and breeding them. It would be a big win if we at least had, you know, an incremental win if we stopped the importation of bats from Asia, you know, exotic species who don't exist here in the United States, because that presents all kinds of other threats to wildlife and public health as well. But we know for sure that this project just got $2 million in September, that it's moving full steam ahead. As far as we know, the NIH hasn't said differently. They've had lots of opportunities to comment to the New York Post and other outlets who've been covering this recently. They haven't told Senator Ernst or Congressman Gosar that they're not moving forward with this project. And, it seems like, you know, as of this moment, this bat lab at CSU is going to be finished. It's going to start breeding bats and then shipping those bats all around the country for some of the most dangerous animal experiments there are in the world. And that's simply something we don't want to happen, and we're doing everything we can to stop.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a really important story, and I'm glad you brought it to our attention, because this should stop. And I think we've made that example several times as to how reckless these laboratories can actually be and how much harm they could cause the American people and globally as well. So Justin, thank you for sharing this with us. We really appreciate it. And you guys are doing great work over at the White Coat Waste Project. So folks, if you haven't followed, make sure you do just that. Justin, you do a great job also on X highlighting all of these important stories. So give him a follow, Justin R. Goodman on X as well. Justin, thank you for putting this on our radar. We greatly appreciate it. We look forward to following it as it develops.
Thanks, Brianna.
Thank you. Thank you. Folks, it's a very important story, of course. And again, you're not going to see it anywhere else, but you'll see it here. These labs, we would think, are no longer being funded. We would think that these bio Fauci labs would have been history, but that's not the case. And that is deeply, deeply concerning. All right, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. And I want to talk about the Oracle CEO, or sorry, the co-founder, Larry Ellison. He's touting this new AI body camera. And ultimately, he's bragging about how it's not able to shut off. And there's nothing that officers who are forced to wear it could do to shut it off. So let's say you want to go to the bathroom. Well, Larry explains specifically in this one as to what happens if you're an officer who wants to use the bathroom. And, well, doesn't sound quite pleasant. Take a listen.
Body cameras. We've completely redesigned body cameras. Our body cameras cost $70, and the camera's always on. You don't turn it on and off. And by the way, the way you turn it on, you can't turn it on. I'm going to the bathroom. Oracle, I need 2 minutes to take a bathroom break, and we'll turn it off. The truth is, we don't really turn it off. I'm going to lunch with my friends. Oracle, I need an hour for privacy with lunch with my friends. God bless. We won't listen in unless there's a court order. But it's interesting. And but we transmit the video back to headquarters. So headquarters and AI is constantly monitoring the video. The police will be on their best behavior, because we're constantly recording, watching and recording everything that's going on. Citizens will be on their best behavior, because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on. And it's unimpeachable. The cars have cameras on them. These are the kind of systems next generation systems we can build using AI.
You'll be on your best behavior, citizens. Yeah, because the governments and these private groups, of course, they're spying on you. They're spying on you. And that's the real frustrating part, folks. I am in the market and just had to recently get a new car. And there's cameras everywhere on the car. Cameras everywhere. In fact, if it thinks you're looking away and not paying attention, there's an alert that will pop up in your car. Of course, you can turn it off. Can you really turn it off? Well, obviously, Larry over there is telling you, can't. We're watching you. And to those poor officers who think they're making a pit stop to go to the bathroom real quick, make sure my camera's not working. No, they're still watching you.
They're still watching you. But don't worry, Larry says they'll only show the footage if they get a court order. And you know the court system is really, really fair. Really, really fair. I'm sure they wouldn't put anything out there that they, well, that you wouldn't want out there. How about a little bit of a weird story? Let's just throw this one in there. I don't know if you saw this footage, but this footage is quite interesting. It has to do with apparently an elephant that has been on the loose and has killed 22 people in about a 10-day rampage going on right now. Now, of course, this is India, and this is what's happening right now. This is at its village who's being attacked, obviously, and sadly, there's children who are being trampled, a couple that was trampled. And it's obviously really, really sad. But the footage is just crazy. 22 people killed, apparently, by this elephant. And it's been about a 10-day rampage where they have not been able to capture this animal. Elephants are majestic creatures. I've always thought so. So for me, when I saw this video, I was like, wait, what? How are... But anything flies in India. And there's a lot of weird things going on over there, of course. So I thought this one was a fascinating one. Fascinating one. All right, if you live in Florida, I want to make sure this is on your radar. There's a new piece of legislation that's being pushed through. And again, it always sounds good at the very beginning, but well, let me just tell you. Florida's proposed bill is the App Store Accountability Act. It's being introduced by a Republican, which would force app stores like Apple and Google to verify the ages of their users. Now, again, always sounds good, and I could obviously vouch for that. I think that there should be a top priority for children to be safe online, but how do you verify their ages? It would require parental consent for minors. And then again, it would be a protection to boost parental oversight and shields kids from online risk, with about a $7,500 penalty for those who violate it, of course. Now, this would start in 2028 if this bill does push forward. And obviously, as many of you guys know, the biggest concern about this has to be with the digital IDs. How do they enforce any of this? Do they ask for your parents' ID to verify who your parents are? Obviously, children, they're minors, so they need some type of verification. And so most people who are looking at this are looking at it from the why do we keep doing this standpoint. Again, we're all on board when it comes to protecting children online. But it comes at a very expensive cost, which usually means inching closer to the globalist agenda. Surprise, surprise. Tomorrow will be day 3 of the WEF, which we will be covering extensively. As many of you heard, President Trump is expected to speak. Once we figure out the times on that, we'll bring it to you, of course, especially if it's on during this show. I'm hoping he does what he did the first time around and calls out those globalist pigs while he's right in front of their faces, especially those over at the EU who have been trembling because of President Trump's push to purchase Greenland. They're not happy about that. Now, all of a sudden, they're all getting on board looking to invest more in Greenland. Weren't they against? Wasn't it the whole big push to keep pushing this war between Russia and Ukraine was to reduce the influence that Russia has? But they're okay with this right now. That only makes sense, I guess, when you don't think about it. All right, folks, that does it for me on The American Journal. I'll have a great show for you planned tomorrow, but of course, the Alex Jones Show starts next. In the meantime, though, head on over to the shop, thealexjonesstore.com. We have a bunch of discounts going on right now at the Alex Jones Store. You have to check it out. So head on over to the website, thealexjonesstore.com, right now to check out the savings we have going on.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't own. I'm going over there. You finance it. You paid for it with your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at InfoWarsStore.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, We need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed. Two I designed. Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King. Make no peace with evil, you know, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me. And it is the bestseller. It's, I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy Unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens for their hats. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching anything, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones that shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like a Star Trek Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.